Congratulations, universe. You win.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, Siri. You're very beautiful.
Thanks. Can we get back to more
your
now?
Lips, beautiful.
I don't really like these arbitrary categories.
Okay. Will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Will you please marry me?
I'm not capable of love.
I love you.
My end user licensing agreement does not cover marriage.
I love you.
You say that to all the virtual assistants.
I love you.
Can we get back to work now?
And now.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
Our feature presentation.
That's a really, really important point. I'm glad he brought it up.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
Lisa was so pretty yesterday at Acoustic Christmas.
Thank
she was.
You,
she always is. Yes.
She's all dolled up. She's kind of dog foodie in the morning during this show. But then you put her out at night, man. You put a dress on her and some makeup. It's like, sister.
But the difference between you and I
look homeless now.
Yeah.
The difference between you and I is we show up looking like this.
Right, exactly. So. See, we've kept the expectations low because right. We look so crappy at work. And then they see us at night and they go, oh, it's just Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, exactly.
Still crappy. No
All
problem.
The same.
But Lisa...
Oh, that's very nice.
Just saying. All right, listen. Ordinarily, we come on and we talk, wackiness in the world. But we've got a little bit of a crisis because last night was night number 2, the final night of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concert. And we're down a few people. I'm shocked, frankly, that Kevin is here.
How dare you? I'm sure
you stayed to see Jane's Addiction.
Of course.
So I can imagine how tired you are. What are you doing over there? You coloring?
Don't ask. Yeah, I'm just erasing.
Looks like he's coloring.
I'm working on my schedule. No worries.
Okay.
That's how this show's coming together.
I can multitask.
Lisa walked in. First thing she says, coffee.
Yeah.
No intern, apparently.
And Mug says, no coffee.
No intern and no coffee.
Yeah. Right? No coffee in the building.
And most importantly, because we desperately need him for many things we have planned today, including some of the interviews and audio from what happened at Acoustic Christmas this week. And our man Omar, who is the on the ones and twos in the other room, he's not only not here, I don't know that he'll be here today. Beer Mug?
Really?
You want to pick up the story for us?
Yeah. Flashback to 2:30 in the morning. I ended up putting Omar to bed in his room. He was stuck out in the hotel hallway. His key wasn't working. I had to take his ID and like another proof of identification, go down, get a new key, and poor guy would have never gotten into his room because I literally, it wasn't how a normal key works. You don't just, I literally had to go in and out, in and out. That's what she said to open the door.
Right.
And when I put Omar to bed, this is all I heard. All right, Omar, I'm setting your alarm, dude. I'll see you in a couple hours.
Yeah, sure.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And we've tried to call him a couple of times today, and how's that gone? What's the response been?
Click.
You know,
does he pick it up and then click? Or?
Yeah. That's just.
Are you kidding?
That's just hitting the snooze alarm is all that is. That's not even being aware that somebody's trying to call you. That's just, I need to stay asleep, and that noise needs to stop now.
Yeah, could be. Could be. He was in rare form last night.
Here's what I love about Omar,
That's
though.
Not usually like Omar.
It wasn't an accident.
Yes, it is.
No, I know he drinks hard.
It's just like Omar.
But he does. He always shows
he
up.
He does always show up, yeah. When he showed up last night, though, because he didn't go Saturday because he was working Saturday. When he showed up last night, his plan was to cram 2 nights of partying into 1 night. I mean, he knew that was going to happen.
And no one can do that better than him.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a champion. I think he could outdrink anyone on this show.
Except for Ralph. So, you think he's not going to show at all?
By the looks in his eyes last night, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
There was nothing. And I've seen Omar, have a good time.
Yeah.
But this was a new level.
All right.
Yeah. I was like, all right, dude, see you in a couple hours.
Chip got no sleep at all, by the way. She's a trooper, though. She's here. And Chip's band is playing in San Diego tonight, so she's leaving after the show and driving to San Diego to play. She's hardcore, dude.
She really is.
She's a punk rock chick,
And then they're going to play here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. someplace. It's a bad schedule.
So what I'm saying is, as far as I know, everybody survived, although we haven't seen Ralph yet either. We're limping along, though. We're down a couple of wheels. But we're gonna push this cart across the finish line.
We're gonna try.
We're gonna give it our best.
Didn't know we were in a car, but okay.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh my God, it's raining!
Sort of.
That's a proper amount of hysteria, I think, for the storm. It's a miracle that we're here today with the storm that's happening outside.
We have a bunch of recap about Acoustic Christmas. There was a lot going on, And many stories for you, many interviews for you.
Yeah, big news broken.
Yep.
On the Kevin and Bean Show over the weekend at Acoustic Christmas, one of our most popular bands essentially breaking up. We've got highlights of that.
That was so funny because when that happened, Bean and I were looking at each other, we were looking at them, and we were trying to figure out, now, is this a joke? Or
right.
Are they serious?
They having a laugh?
They weren't having a laugh, it turns out. No.
Yeah, we have that. We also have one of the bands came by with a new original Christmas song that they performed for us, which I was very excited about. So we got that for you. And one of the most touching acoustic Christmas stories ever.
Really?
From one of our superstar acts told to us on the at the booth yesterday when we were broadcasting. Beer Mug did everything he could to make sure that story didn't get on the air.
Yeah, he cut it out.
He cut it right out so we wouldn't hear that story.
We'll tell you the details later, but basically what happens is they tell him, take the interview that's already really pretty quick, about 3 minutes,
right,
and cut it down to about 20 seconds. So that's what he has to do. So he cut everything out, and then we were like, did you leave the part in about? And he's like, no, I cut that out for time. Like, that was the only good part.
It was the only good part.
So anyway, we got that coming up today. We have, we're going to call QVC today.
Yay!
It's Lisa's Christmas gift time.
Merry Christmas to me.
Woo! Woo-hoo. That makes me very nervous. It's on my credit card
every year.
Is there any room on your credit card?
Oh, please, God in heaven, make it expensive. That's always...
Look, here's the thing about QVC. We call, and we're not looking at the screen. It could be a new car.
It could be.
Or it could be polish for your car.
Most likely
could be $4, could be $4,000. There's no way to tell until they pick up the phone.
And Lisa loves it. I mean, every year Lisa's just...
Yeah, we're going to need a recap of some of your past birthday and Christmas gifts.
Sometimes she starts crying. She's so happy.
Because I'm so happy.
So
yeah.
Happy, yeah. So that's coming up as well. We have top 10 Omar moments. Oh, I'm sorry. Top 10 moments with for this year. And I don't want to do that. Because usually it's mostly me.
I hear the early reports are that I'm coming on strong this year.
Sweet.
I'm going for your crown, dude.
Love it. You can have it.
I had a lot of meltdowns this year.
You're going to have to beat Muggs for it, though. I think Muggs is really, he's got his arms around it. He's not letting it go. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
We have Harvey Levin talking about the celebs. And we have Joe Rogan today.
All right.
Oh, great timing.
That? Talking about the, UFC 140. Oh! Oh!
I don't ever want to hear that noise from Kevin.
Oh!
Okay, that's fine. That's
it's unbelievable. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Para. Para, para.
That one's over now, Ralph.
Para.
That's it. Coldplay's done.
Para.
Okay, so hit him in the back or something,
paralegic.
Lisa. Get him
okay. Paralegal.
There we go.
Parachute. Things that start with para.
Ralph is tired is what's happening here.
Oh, God, help me.
God can't help you.
Ruffles. No, and he wouldn't if he could.
No, he probably
I don't deserve
wouldn't.
It. That's right. I'm no Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
The Tebs.
I was thinking this morning, Tim Tebow, the country's in a desperate, desperate situation right now.
He's not running for office.
He needs to run for office. He's the guy who could go in there. It's 2 minutes to the end of the game, and this country's dying. Let's put him in there and get things going, right?
Gives a comeback in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah, I think it's time. Tebow for president. I'm
Why
on
not?
Board.
Why not?
Why the hell not,
can
right?
Can we do any worse? This is America, Bean.
Look, we tried a white guy. We tried a black guy. Now it's time to try Tim Tebow. That's his slogan.
Where does he fall into the mix?
I don't understand. You might need to work on that a little.
Okay. I'm just
Maybe
coming
Bean
up with this.
Maybe Bean should be his campaign manager.
Just coming up with this off the top of my head. We got some work to do on that. Ralph is here. It is time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show.
It is a Monday. Damn it.
But because oh, my God, it's raining!
It's a rainy, hungover Monday.
Yes, it
what
is.
What could be worse?
It's always funny because on the day after our shows, we're the only people in the building.
Yeah, no one else comes in.
And then when we leave, you know, it's 11 or noon, still only people in the building.
Yeah, it's a ghost town.
Yeah. Kat Kroeber will show up. 10 after 10.
Oh, can you imagine what she's going
to
sound like?
With the blackest sunglasses you've ever seen, and you won't be able to see her face at all. She'll have a visor on, and she'll go,
I can't believe I'm in here, you guys.
She's going to do the marine crawl down the hallway, just trying to make it in here.
She takes the sunglasses off, her eyes are still just as black as all mascara. It's just all smeared all around her eyes, and she's...
That's why we love her.
Got something on her face.
What?
You know,
food.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office. As if things couldn't get any worse this bleak Monday morning. Turns out New Year's Eve was the number one movie at the box office this weekend.
All right. Yes.
Well, that's Jack and Jill syndrome, right?
The Gary Marshall rom-com featuring 900,000 actors all telling
and
the
by
story.
By all accounts,
horrifically bad, right?
I haven't heard any good things about
it. Yeah, nothing.
Doesn't seem to matter.
Except it has a lot of stars in it. That's it.
$13.7 million made it number one this weekend. The Sitter. Their buddy, Jonah Hill, came in at number two, $10 million.
Killed you to not be able to go see that this weekend, didn't it, Kevin?
It did, yeah.
Looks funny.
Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 was third with $7.9 million. Then The Muppets and Arthur Christmas rounding out the top five. Hugo 3D, The Descendants, Happy Feet 2, Jack and Jill still in the top 10. And The Immortals rounding out that list. Men's Health Magazine has named the sexiest woman of all time.
Wow.
Sexiest woman of all time.
That's quite a badge of honor to wear if you're this particular young lady.
That has to be Marilyn Monroe, right?
No, Kevin.
Okay.
She pales.
Really?
Pales compared to the winner. Chloe although Marilyn did make it in the top five.
No.
It better be Angelina Jolie.
Oh, please.
Chloe Kardashian?
Bean, how dare you? She's in the top 10, but not in the top five of the sexiest woman of all time.
Sexiest woman of all time.
Marilyn Monroe was third, by the way, Kevin, your guess. Okay. Raquel Welch was second.
Oh, good choice.
Which I think might have been my choice, if you're looking at all time.
You're talking all time, yeah.
If you're going through
at her peak, she's
annals,
as good as it got.
Boy, she was bulletproof.
Get yourself a little 1 million BC, Kevin, and join the party.
Yeah. Mm.
What about Brigitte Bardot?
Brigitte Bardot, not in the list here.
Okay.
Sophie Loren?
Sophie Loren, not in the list.
Really?
Wow.
No. That surprises me.
I'll give you the rest of the top 10, then we'll guess okay. Number one, okay? Yeah, Angelina Jolie was 10th. Jane Fonda, 9th. Which, back in the day, she was quite the little sex pigeon.
Yeah.
You ever see Barbarella or any of the early films she did? She was a stunning, stunning woman. Ursula Andress, the original Bond girl, also. In that white bikini, she comes out of that surf, just ridiculous. Betty Page, legendary 40s pinup girl, Betty Page.
Mm-hmm.
Very sexy. Pamela Anderson.
Sure.
Oh, sixth. Wow.
Fifth was Britney Spears.
This is a ridiculous list now.
Well, it depends on when.
Britney ahead
one
of
time
Angelina
she
Jolie.
She was the sex symbol, the end-all sex symbol.
But when you say Britney Spears, you have to add a year to it, because it really makes a big difference.
Yeah. Madonna. I guess you kind of have to put her in the list, right?
No, you don't really. Top ten of all time. I don't think
about
sexiest icons.
Think about when she came out on the MTV Awards and sang "Like a Virgin." She was about as hot as it gets.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, as I mentioned, was third. Raquel Welch was second.
Scarlett Johansson.
We still have a name number one.
Bean is going to meet tonight in New York City.
He can congratulate him himself when he's in New York City.
Fantastic.
No, she's not number one.
No.
Halle Berry.
Nope.
Sofia Vergara.
Nope.
Wow. This better not be bogus, Ralph.
Music or TV or movies?
It's pretty bogus.
It better not be bogus. TV, movies?
Yes.
Music?
Yeah, all of the above?
No, not music.
Okay, just TV and music. I'm sorry, movies?
It's pretty bogus.
It's bogus, huh?
Yeah.
Then
right,
I don't.
Who is it?
Jennifer Aniston.
Come on.
You've got to be kidding.
Come on, Men's Health Magazine.
That's
all time. Sexiest woman of all time, Jennifer Aniston.
That is absurd. I would put her on maybe the cutest list, but sexy, nope.
She wouldn't even make the top 10, right?
No. Nope.
She wouldn't make the top 25 of all time. She just wouldn't. I mean, ahead of people we haven't even talked about, like Halle Berry and people like that aren't even on the list.
Yeah.
Beyonce, for that matter.
Carmen Electra?
Yeah. Crazy.
Jennifer Aniston.
Dumb list.
Dumb. What magazine is this?
Men's Health.
I want them dead.
That's not very healthy of you. And Charlie Sheen made a boo-boo on Twitter last week. This is pretty funny. According to the New York Post, he was trying to send Justin Bieber a personal message.
Why?
You know, on Twitter, you can send direct messages via Twitter so that you can contact people via their Twitter account.
If they follow each other. This is what killed Anthony Weiner.
He tried
to send a direct message, ended up being public, right?
Send a private message to Justin Bieber that he accidentally published publicly on Twitter.
Sweet.
Saying, hey, I want to talk to you. Give me a phone call. And posted his personal phone number
in the
message. Well, the news spread fast and his phone started ringing nonstop. He received 1,800 text messages in 3 minutes. And apparently whatever his phone or PDA, what he was using, finally melted down and he had to disable it.
What do you think that was about?
I can't imagine what those two would have to talk about.
His kids, right? Charlie does. So maybe his kids want to see him.
Oh, maybe. Or I heard that Justin Bieber's an excellent drug dealer as well.
So maybe
he was trying to get drugs from
from
Justin. Have them delivered to the house.
We're not on drugs, bro.
Shh. Gotta have to turn that up and put that in.
We're trying.
Can't do anything here.
Don't talk. Don't speak, Charlie.
He's strictly a background player now.
Not on drugs, bro.
Yeah, you can barely hear that.
Yeah, that's true.
Spider-Man actress Kirsten Dunst picked up. You know what? It's a good idea. Just keep trying, though, even though it's been failing the entire showbiz beat.
Right.
Just keep going back to that
get
well.
To work.
Kirsten Dunst has picked up a temporary restraining order against a French guy who's been stalking her. The court documents claim Jean-Christophe Prudhon of Dijon, France, has written her dozens of letters, one of which said he would sell his house to afford a plane ticket to fly to the U.S. to be with her. Well, he showed up at her California home last week.
No.
Asking to speak with her. There'll be more in a court hearing on December the 21st. But he's going to get off because of insanity, right? Reasons of insanity?
Yeah, probably.
What are you doing?
What's happening?
What are just random
Stop
beeps?
Stop pushing buttons over there.
Like R2-D2.
This show is shot. Don't even worry about it.
Random series of beeps and whistles.
This was not even real, right?
This is why I drink.
Kirsten Dunst, who's stalking her?
Right, oh, I know. Question.
Maybe he's a dentist.
Should be. Sees a lot of money in her.
I can help you.
I'm fascinated by your summer teeth.
He's yelling over the fence.
Summer over here, summer over there. Steve Guttenberg is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Finally.
Woo, the Goots.
Finally.
The Goots. Woo. Now I'm glad it's raining.
Remember that thing he did in the 80s that we watched?
Oh, remember that one time when he was in
time
that?
Time he did something?
He was three men and a baby, right?
He was that three men and a baby.
What, oh,
he was Police Academy.
He was Police Academy, of course, yes.
Let's not forget, he was Cocoon. He was in Cocoon.
Cocoon.
How did he make the list?
I heard you.
There are people. There must be people who are more deserving of a star at this point received one, right?
I'm guessing. This is the 2,455th star, by the way.
He got a star before Adam West, and I know Adam's is due, but
we get
seriously.
We get him next year, so. Just wanted to give the Goots a big shout-out because we're big Goots fans here.
Not so much.
Psycho Mike's a big Goots fan.
Is he?
He loves the Goots.
Mm,
yeah. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Game show host and mutilator of animal genitals, Bob Barker, is 88 years old today. He loves to mutilate animal genitals.
Is that right?
That's
well,
all he does.
He promotes
mutilating.
Hey,
let's go mutilate some animal genitals. That's hot.
He does it himself?
Twisted man, yeah.
He's trying to stop animals from breeding.
Well, I guess if you mutilate their genitals, that would work,
he
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He just
seems
like a good
chainsaw.
Plan.
He's like the Saw of the animal world. Yeah, they see him, they go running the opposite direction.
Hostile.
Singer Dionne Warwick is 71 years old today. She's a bitch.
She sure is.
Celebrity Apprentice proved that.
She's terrible.
America loved Dionne Warwick for her entire lengthy career until she showed who she really is on television.
She's a lying, conniving whore, wasn't she?
She has ruined her reputation with one reality show.
And stupid.
And yes.
You know, like,
hateable on every level.
Not likable,
Sheila E., remember her?
Yeah.
Percussionist and hotter than Jennifer Aniston, by the way. I'd put her above that list on all time. 54 years old today. Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, there we go.
She's 41 years old. And Mayim Bialik.
Wow.
Remember Mayim Bialik?
Sure.
She was Blossom.
Bet she knows
Blossom.
Steve Guttenberg.
I bet she does. She's also in The Big Bang Theory, 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right there. That was good when they performed that, huh? That was good. Sublime with Rome. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 6 minutes after six.
It is Monday, like you can't tell, the day after the Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Any 1020 on Omar yet? Is he on the way? Or
we got a call from him.
Back in bed?
I think we know that he acknowledged that he was late.
Okay.
Did he fall back asleep? We have no idea.
I expect this from Beer Mug. This surprises me from Omar. He's usually pretty dependable.
Yes. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more with Omar.
That's true.
All right, we're stalling, kids. By the way, Harvey Levin, TMZ, Andrew Siciliano coming up. Got a lot to tell you about the Acoustic Christmas, a lot of recap stuff that you might have missed. But first, Lisa May?
Yes.
Years now, we've been calling QVC and buying sight unseen whatever's on the screen.
Yes.
Do you dread it or do you look forward to it?
I look forward to it because hope springs eternal.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is, it's almost always been crap.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not to suggest that QVC doesn't sell good stuff.
Crap,
yeah,
right.
When we call, it's usually something that may not match your interests.
I would like to entertain you with a list of some of the items.
Oh, these are some of the items in the past
that I have received in the past.
Go ahead.
Instead of actual custom thought out gifts for you as a friend.
Yes.
Okay.
Gardening clogs. These are sort of
you're known for your gardening
clog things you put on your feet before you go in the
to
dirt.
A woman who lives in a condo. We gave that.
Right. Thank you. A kitchen mat.
How is that a thing that people buy?
You, are standing in front of your sink. And again, thank you. I got the do-it-yourself Tiffany lampshade kit.
Sweet. Did you put that together yet?
I have it in my closet. And I think if I ever break my leg, I'll have something to do.
Okay.
Thank you, boys.
That's good to have as a standby, I guess, when you break your leg.
I have had assorted fake turquoise jewelry over the years.
The worst jewelry.
Phonics game. I got a Phonics game.
Oh, Phonics. That's right.
Well, because you're new to this country, we're trying to help you learn English.
I got a smoker, which when I plugged in started smoking, which is not actually supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's called a smoker.
That's right. I know. And one of my favorites, which I actually thought was pretty, was a cubic zirconium diamond ring. It had three stones in it.
Uh-huh.
And,
there you go.
This is QVC's fault because I wore it for a week and then one of the stones fell out.
But it
wasn't expensive.
What about the one that I noticed you conveniently left off the list awesome, which was a model of the Apollo 11 lunar module?
I loved that one so much that I went on the air and traded it for something else.
A lot of re-gifting going on.
All right. This always makes me very nervous, as I said, because it's the QVC account is linked to my personal credit card. So let's dial it up, and we're going to buy whatever's on the screen. If you have a TV in front of you, want to turn on QVC and watch for yourself, you'll see that we're not lying here.
We don't know what they have, mm-mm, but whatever's on the screen is Lisa's.
Betcha it's not a computer.
I hope it's not the jewelry of Elizabeth Taylor now being offered for the first time ever.
To place an order or obtain product information, press 1. For customer, welcome to QVC. At the moment, all of our representatives
sorry, Lisa.
Next year. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. How busy can they be?
You can't tell us. Hello?
This is QVC, Nora speaking.
Hi. Good morning, Tia. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock Radio Los Angeles, ma'am. We are on the radio. We'd like to make a purchase. We have a QVC account, and every year for Christmas, we call and buy for our coworkers whatever is on the screen right now. We are not watching. We don't know what it is, but we are committing to buy it.
Okay.
All right. So what are you selling right now? Not what are you selling, but what are you selling that's on the TV screen right this second?
Okay. I'm showing a set called the Hand and Body Collection in a gift box.
She gets a hand and a body. That's great.
I have a hand and a body.
Hand and body collection.
I'm sorry, ma'am. What's it called?
Is it lotion?
The manufacturer is M-O-R, More. It's More Essentials, it says here.
Is it lotion?
It's a set of lotion.
Okay. I think we're good, Dee. We're good. We got this one okay.
We're buying a set of lotions? What's
is it under $20?
It's $16.40.
Yes!
And we split it, so it's about $8
a piece. $8 each. This is awesome. What's exceptional? We're big fans of QVC, and I know you sell good stuff. Why are you offering this lotion? What's exceptional about the lotion? I'm sure you have a description for us.
Well, it says here this fun and festive gift set contains a sampling of essential collection from Moore. That's the company's name, M-O-R.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're just really sample sizes.
Well, let's see. It says here the fragrances are, choices are sugar rose.
Okay, she has
honey
choices.
Honey nectar or basil grape.
Which would you like?
Honey nectar sounds
kind of
nice.
Honey nectar, please.
Good
all right.
Choice.
How many ounces of lotion is this, ma'am?
It says here 11.
11 ounces of lotion,
right,
ladies and gentlemen. That's a weekend for Lisa.
Sweet.
That's fantastic. All right, so with shipping and handling, that's probably going to put us back about $20 then.
About.
Oh, it's the happiest Christmas ever.
Merry Christmas.
Ma'am, we are going to put you on hold. Our producer, Dave, will pick up and make sure that you have my current mailing and credit card information. We thank you for your time and have a wonderful holiday season.
Absolutely.
And thank you for helping us.
Absolutely.
Lisa got some lotion.
Lisa, lotion.
It's like you put another lump of coal in my stocking.
Wait a minute. You use lotion?
That's so sad.
Merry Christmas, Lisa.
Aww,
you're welcome.
You.
Was this worth a whole another year of working with Kevin and Bean?
Why?
She's
why
only hanging on for the new car. That's the only reason she still stays on the show is one day there's going to be a new car.
But you use lotion. It's not like you have to put it together.
At least it could be like a $50 something good. It's like sample
this
sizes.
This includes six
it's like
ounce.
Travel sizes of lotion.
Triple, like, mini sizes. So this is really good.
Really small.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Sounds over to me.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 24 minutes after 6.
The day after, two nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts at the Gibson Amphitheater. Talk about some highlights, by the way. It's all still a blur. It'll take me a while to process it. But I thought Florence and the Machine were once again un-freaking believable.
Just fantastic.
The stage presence is incredible for her. Black Keys were unbelievable as well.
Great.
Blink-182 was unbelievable as well. I'm tired of using that word, but I mean, everybody was just so great. Sublime, by the way, from the last time I saw them, could you believe how Rome has transformed into an actual front person? Remember when we first started seeing Sublime with Rome?
He's a front person and a half.
Yeah, he has eaten since the last time we saw him. But he was, you know, a little bit stage shy at the very beginning when he started. And now he's just an entertainer, man. And we were lucky enough to have a lot of the acts stop by and be interviewed by us out in front of the Gibson Amphitheater both nights. And Sublime dropped some heavy-duty news on us that we hadn't heard anything about, not even a rumor. We had not suspected this, but I think we have some of the tape, although Omar did edit it, so we have no idea what kind of shape it's in, but let's see what we got.
I feel it's only morally right to let you guys know that this is going to be my last show with Sublime with Rome.
Okay, so that's Bud.
That's Bud, the drummer, who is an original member of Sublime, has been with them on and off as long as there's been a Sublime, which has got to be, you know, 16, 17, 18 years, something like that now.
So he says that, and Bean and I are like, we're looking at each other, we don't know. Because they're wacky, you know, those guys. They'll say anything. So, is he serious? What's happening? Why would he quit? What's the deal? So, he's the drummer, and we're trying to figure out what's going on.
So, excuse me?
By the way, can you please stop saying excuse me?
It still cracks me up.
I beg of you. It hasn't cracked anyone else up since they were six.
By the way.
He said squeeze.
Can you roll it back? I want to hear the panic on the person in the audience. I mean, they might have just as well said, an asteroid is heading toward Earth. We're all going to be dead in 10 minutes. Yeah. Listen to the reaction to the drummers leaving Sublime.
I feel it's only morally right to let you guys know that this is going to be my last show with Sublime with Rome.
So, excuse me? What's happening? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm taking a break.
That true?
Okay, so still we don't know.
Because a break.
Yeah, what does that mean?
A little different. Right.
A month?
I'm going away forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The drummer says goodbye.
The drummer is leaving again.
What happened?
Well, it's a
what happened,
story.
Bud?
It's a long story, he says.
Now I want to know everything.
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, I was thinking, and we all heard about that incident in Hawaii where Bud walked off and didn't play for the last couple of songs because he was fighting with the tour manager, and they do this bit in the show where the tour manager, Cheese, I guess, comes out and plays guitar on a couple of songs, right? Which they did at Acoustic Christmas. Awesome. So we had heard that they walked out, but when we talked to Rome last week, he said, yeah, that was a misunderstanding, and those guys have worked it out, and everything's fine now. So I thought, well, he's not leaving because of that. That's behind them. What else could it be? This is
what
weird.
It's a long story.
Well, you brought it up.
You can't bring up a long story and not tell the story.
Well, the story is that I'm gonna be a dad here again real soon, and I need to be here for...
And by the way, that's not a long story.
No?
that was about a six-second story
for my family.
Good news.
Time to get off the road?
Yeah.
Time to grow up?
Yeah.
He's not going to grow up. Let's not be crazy.
Wow. So what does that mean for Sublime, you guys?
Josh Freese is our new drummer.
Okay, so then they say Josh Freese.
And you thought they were kidding.
Well, Josh Freese, for those of you who don't recognize the name, has played with every band that has ever existed.
Yeah.
I mean, he is that good.
He's the go-to guy. If you want to have him in your band, if you can. If you can't, you hire him to play on your records because he's a great drummer.
Remember when Nine Inch Nails, they were playing the Hollywood Bowl, and something happened to their drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick or whatever. And he stepped in and played with Nine Inch Nails. I mean, it's one of those guys.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And so they say his name, and still I'm thinking, well, now, wait a minute. I know he plays for everybody, but is he going to play with Sublime now? And are you serious?
Well, is he? I mean, if you want to hire a hack, okay.
Only Josh Freese.
If you want to only get the best guy out there. Wow. Well, that is sad. That's sad news. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's sad, but it's also great because, you know, Bud's welcoming a new addition to his family. So it's
right.
Like,
so it's fantastic.
We
happy
understand,
news.
Like, you know, as
good editing.
Maybe let's beep the F word next time, Omar. All right. So I know you talked to Josh, and I want to hear about that. But I ran into Eric a little bit after this, and I said, okay. Is there a real story here? I mean, it is possible to do both.
Although, let's be honest, they've been doing it a long time.
They've been doing it a long time. And he told me, yeah, that's all it is that, I mean, and I hope I'm not sharing too much here, literally his marriage is in trouble because this band tours too much.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm sure that's not
and,
too much.
And he, and he said, and Sublime tours more now than they ever have in the history of the band. You know, even going back to the Bradley days, wow. they're on the road all the time.
Yeah, and that's like being a single parent.
Yes. And his wife is just like, dude. I mean, I don't want to, I'm not making her the bad guy, but right. I mean, logistically, she's like, dude, you have a family and yeah. we have another one on the way. I need you to pull it back. And that's the commitment. That's what he wants to do. And it seems like it's time and it seems like the band is cool. Then they understand. How can you not be? The guy's got to put his personal life first. So it's for reals that he's stepping away for, you know, an indeterminate amount of time. So then just by sheer coincidence, we didn't even know he was there. Then later that same night, you run into Josh Freese.
Yeah, a Kat Corbett brought him over to me. I guess she heard our interview or whatever, and she said, Josh, Kevin, Josh. I was like, how you doing? Because we've had him in a couple times. Yeah. And he said, so, I guess I'm playing with Sublime.
Please tell me that wasn't news to him.
It wasn't. But it was very funny because he said, we met 2 days ago about this. I guess he's doing something with Weezer right now.
Uh-huh.
There's no band he's not doing something
right,
with.
Right.
And he's like, so, you know, we met 2 days ago and I figured I should be the one to tell, you know, Weezer or all the other people that I'm working with that I might do some stuff in 2012 with Sublime. That's what it was. It was just, hey, maybe we could work together in the future. That was the meeting 2 days
ago. And now he's the new drummer.
And then he said to them, yeah, but if you don't mind, let's keep it on the down low because don't make any announcement or anything because, you know, I haven't told the other people I'm working with yet. I'd like to do that myself. It seems professional for me to be able to do that myself. And so then he started laughing. He's like, so I guess that's their idea of not mentioning it. And then he said, that, you know, I had to make some phone calls really quick, let some people know.
Mm.
And he's not even sure, like, exactly what's going
to
happen.
Well, I know Smokeout. I know they're committed to playing Smokeout, and Josh is going to do that. At a minimum, to get started. But that's hilarious.
So he said, yeah, I asked him not to say anything. And then he just said these words. And then everyone understands. He went, these guys are really stoners.
Okay. Final thoughts. You only have three guys in your band.
Uh-huh.
One of them dies.
Correct.
You replace him. Another guy retires, gets off the road, have a family. You replace him. Are you still Sublime?
You're a third of Sublime.
You're one guy.
Is it going to be Sublime now?
With Roman Josh?
Yes, with Roman Josh Freese?
I don't know.
I don't know. But apparently Saturday night was
Bud's last gig
as the drummer with Sublime.
And they were fantastic,
they were
by
great.
The way. And he is a great drummer
yeah.
and will be missed. But it was just it's so funny the way it works out in Sublime world.
It was shocking. We had no idea it was coming. And then they mentioned it. And then they said Josh. And then we talked to him. So it seems like it's valid. I mean, it seems like Bud is done.
Yep.
And Sublime is sub now. They're no longer live. Let's be honest. There's only one of them. But they seem to be willing to go on, and Josh is going to play some with them.
Good times.
Who knows? Good time.
Chevelle, nice guys. We talked to them on Saturday night at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. They got a terrific new album out right now. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Football, ladies and gentlemen, has just become America's greatest reality show. And I don't care how much you love Tim Tebow. I don't care how much you've been amazed by week after week he comes back in the fourth quarter and wins a game. This thing that happened yesterday, 10-0 with 2 minutes and 8 seconds left.
Yeah.
He's down 10-0.
Yep.
Lisa, you watched this game.
Well, my boyfriend did, and he came home. He came over right before the show and said, turn on the TV, turn on the TV.
How do you come back from 10-0 with 2 minutes left?
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Well, actually, let's fire up the hotline if you don't mind. I'd like to talk.
The hotline to heaven.
I'd like to talk to God about this.
Okay.
Because I think
you're going
something
to the
wrong.
Top.
I just think we might as well. I mean, if that's what's going on, we might as well figure out.
I mean, let's face it. If the Cowboys are America's team, apparently the Broncos are God's team because it is unreal and inexplicable how much Tim Tebow is able to come back. And I believe we have God on the line with us right now. Hi, God. Hello, God.
Hello.
There you are. How are
there
you, dude?
I am. Sorry. Technical difficulties here
really?
In heaven.
I don't expect that on your
it's
end.
It's hard to get good angels anymore.
So,
unless you're the Anaheim Angels.
Then you can decide a big check for whoever you want, right?
Yes.
God, what's the deal with you and Tebow?
I love me some Tim Tebow.
Right, but you can't.
I love how he's always down there on one knee with his fist to his forehead praying to me. I dig that.
He does give you all the praise. He says in an interview after interview that football doesn't matter. That's not what's important. What matters is his relationship with your son, Jesus Christ.
Yes. He gives me mad props.
Well, he does. That's true.
And I appreciate that.
Now, are you literally helping him at the end of every game when it comes down to, you know, individual plays and throws and actually coming back against teams? Is that you?
Well, I think it's obvious, isn't it?
Well, yeah, he does.
How do you score 10 points in 2 minutes?
And Marion Barber for the Bears yesterday, I think for the first time in his career, ran out of bounds and stopped a clock when he shouldn't because, it was, and then ended up fumbling in overtime, I think. And it's just, I mean, he's a great player, yet somehow something was weird that was happening.
I shoved him.
You did. You did.
And then I went down with my giant hand onto the field, and I flicked him out of bounds.
And then you hit the ball out of his hand the next play?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't seem fair.
No, but it's funny.
It's funny.
Watching you little creatures run around as I screw with your lives.
Didn't you use...
Fear me! Oh, wow. I can make you great, or I can bring you asunder.
That is, that's very powerful to hear you talk like that, guy.
Yeah, I was working on that all night.
It was good. You did something similar to this in that Angels in the Outfield movie, if I recall correctly.
That wasn't me.
I thought that was you.
No, that was Gary Coleman.
Okay.
No, I see.
No, that was the angel in left field.
I see.
I get those screwed up.
All right, so what's...
So many God and angel movies.
Sure, of course, yeah. What's your plan for the Denver Broncos, though? They just keep winning after winning. They're in first place now in their division. Are you just... I mean, should we just go to Vegas right now and bet on the Super Bowl? Are you going to let it ride all year?
If I were you, I'd put a lot of money on the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, but God,
Kevin.
What if somebody bet on the Denver Broncos before the season to win the Super Bowl and then lost the ticket? And then that was on the hook to that listener to come up with the money? And then had to write the check to the listener. I mean, you're not going to take them all the way, are you?
Yeah, that's going to be funny.
No, they can go. Let Denver go like 2-3 weeks into the playoffs.
I must teach you to stop being such a douchebag.
No. Come on.
I will rend you asunder.
No, we don't want that.
Now.
We've learned we don't want that.
What does asunder mean,
I don't know.
Anyway?
It sounds bad, though, right?
It does.
It doesn't
you
sound
don't want it.
I know that much. I agree.
All right, so this is a scoop, then. You have confirmed, God, that it is your work that enables Tim Tebow to keep coming back under incredible odds every week.
The Broncos are God's team.
Okay.
Just like the Raiders are Satan's team.
Yes.
Everybody's got to have one.
Exactly.
See?
So the devil chose his and you chose yours.
Now, the devil used to run the Raiders for a while.
Is that right?
And then he passed away.
Passed away, yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah. Mm. All right, God. Well, thank you for confirming this. It was our suspicion, but it's great to hear it directly from you, sir.
Hey, I heard Sublime's breaking up.
Yeah.
We heard that, too.
Mm. Oh, that's a bummer.
You know who's playing drums for him?
No,
Josh Freese.
Really?
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Oh, Weezer's going to be pissed.
Wow, God's plugged in, man. He knows what's happening.
I'm God.
That's right.
You are God. That's true.
Yeah, and?
And?
Anything else?
I'd love for any of these commercials to play. I've hit the commercials. Oh, God, I've hit the commercials like 5 times. Can you help me? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
They are 2012 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. Excuse me, entries. They were nominees, and now they have been selected to join the Hall. And we're going to talk to Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers about that and about all the Los Angeles Lakers drama tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show about this time. How about that? What is that?
It's great.
What is that?
Everybody's very happy to hear that.
I can't tell if that's hail on a windshield or clapping.
Don't be like that, man.
I'm just saying. It's...
All right. Ralph is here with a new sound effects box, apparently.
It's a tiny little handheld sound machine.
It's pretty good.
Now I can be like Bean, only in real life.
Don't make me
I can
pull
walk
up.
Around and have conversations with people and say, so anyway.
Sweet.
Like belch and stuff.
Okay.
That's a bad answer.
Good. That's a good
you
one.
Use that in your real life. That's
I like
nice.
That.
Yeah.
Wife gets mouthy. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah,
all set.
Give it a little gun chat.
All right. Ralph is here with an all new sound effects box and the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't know what that is.
Wacky is what it is.
Yeah.
Say, we're going to talk to Miss Double December later this morning.
There you go.
That'll be good, huh?
That's high quality.
Sure is. This weekend's box office, as you know, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office every Monday morning to give you some idea what people are going to see in movie theaters. This weekend's box office...
It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. New Year's Eve was number one at the box office. But it was number one with just $13.7 million.
Wow.
Which any other weekend would be lackluster, to say the least. Wow.
I heard that the movie box office right now, Ralph, is bringing in, and I don't know what the time period is this article referred to, is bringing in less money than pre-9/11 box office. Box office is down so much right now.
You mean this story right here?
Oh, you have it. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Weakest New Year's Eve box office weekend since 2008. This weekend. Domestic box office suffered through its worst weekend since September 2008, taking only $78 million from Friday to Sunday, a 20% drop from the same weekend last year.
Does that mean there's just a bunch of, there were a bunch of event movies last year that were still strong, and this year there just aren't? There's just a bunch of new stuff that people are finding lackluster?
And the big weekends they thought were going to be, the big movies they thought were going to have good weekends, drastically underperformed.
What about the New
Year's Eve? New Year's Eve, for example, the Gary Marshall romantic comedy, which is more or less a sequel, in spirit at least, to his Valentine's Day movie, which did very well. Well, he made, as we mentioned, $13.7 million, even though it was number one. And Jonah Hill's comedy, The Sitter, had another week opening as well, just made $10 million. That was number two this weekend.
First name, mister. Middle name, period. Last name, King.
Oh, Kevin's got a handheld thing, too.
Uh-oh, got mine, too.
It's on.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I pity the fool.
So yours only has Mr. T stuff.
Quit your jibber jabber. Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
It's a fight, man.
Don't make me mad.
We're using $5 plastic noise machines on a $500 million radio station.
That's what makes us special.
Shut up, fool.
Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 was the third of the box office. Then The Muppets, Arthur Christmas were the top five. Hugo 3D, The Descendants, Happy Feet 2, Jack and Jill, and Immortals rounding out your top 10.
Stop going to see Jack and Jill.
They won't. They
have, all
they,
of you.
They're compelled. They have no choice. Sacha Baron Cohen in the news.
Oh, love him.
He is in the talks to take on a role in the movie version of the Broadway musical Les Miserables, playing the bad guy. Monsieur Fienardier. It's actually the French way to pronounce it.
The actual name?
Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe already signed on.
He's a good actor, by the way.
I think so, too.
I think so, too. I think he's going to be good. And he can sing and do a lot of good stuff. So I'd like to see him in some stuff other than the Borat-type things that he's done up to this point. How good was he in Talladega Nights? Remember that, when he's playing the Formula One race car driver?
Oh, that's right. I want you to beat me.
Amanda Seyfried is in the news. She's a lovely girl and has a lot of women coming up to her saying how does she perfect that look of hers. And she says she doesn't wash her hair.
All right.
Hey, Amanda just got here.
Great.
And she was born incredibly hot, too. Yeah.
That
which is
helps.
Not something anyone can do, you know, to match her.
She says cutting back on washing her hair keeps her hair healthier.
What?
Well, smellier, maybe. I don't know about healthier. Just wash your hair. Don't be stupid.
She'd still be hot if she washed her hair.
Exactly.
Shut up, fool.
Hey, leave my audience alone. They're laughing at my joke.
Shut up, fool.
She says in between washings, which she does about once a week, she uses a dry shampoo, that kind of spray-in, brush-out stuff. Mm. Sounds like a lot of work. Just wash your hair.
Right. Sounds like she's lazy.
Lisa, what's the current thinking on how often you're supposed to wash your hair?
A couple times a week, I hear, right? Different, but yeah, a couple of times a week at least. Yeah.
And real quickly before I get to birthdays, Spike Lee is doing an HBO movie. It's just been announced.
What's he pissed at the government about now?
This is an interesting topic. He's doing it about former mayor of Washington, D.C., Marion Barry.
Oh, awesome.
This was the one who was busted in that cocaine sting. Remember he was in the hotel room?
And then got re-elected.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cocaine with a prostitute, by the way.
Yeah, and went off on her. Remember saying what a bitch she was for setting him up? Bitch set me up. Eddie Murphy is going to play Marion Barry.
Oh, that could be great.
It could be great.
Could be great.
That's interesting.
Eddie can be a real good dramatic actor when he puts his mind to it. With Spike Lee directing, I think this has a lot of potential.
Huh. They loved him in Washington, D.C. He could do no wrong.
Yeah. So, there's your news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we?
Somewhere?
Bob Barker. Game show host for a long time on The Price is Right. He's 88 years old today.
A little grabby with the models, if I recall.
That was
Price
the word.
Right
the Barker's beauties used to have to go through a personal audition with old Bob.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I hope he was spayed and or neutered before he would mess around with him. Dionne Warwick, 71 years old, bitch. God, I hate her. Hate Dia Moore.
No one thought anything but great things until she went on Celebrity Apprentice. And then just...
Right. Just walk on by. That's what I say to her when I see her. I don't even want to deal with her.
Wow.
That's what I say, B.
Come on now.
How are you like this, man? That's not what Fritz are for.
Come on. Come on now.
Sheila E. is 54 years old. Jennifer Connelly turns 41. And Mayim Bialik, better known as Blossom. Now on The Big Bang Theory, she's 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday on The Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Joe Rogan is going to be joining us next hour. He, of course, is bringing Fear Factor back to TV after 5 years away. That's happening this week. And, of course, we'll talk to him about UFC 140 also, which was awesome. Andrew Siciliano joins us from DirecTV's Red Zone. TMZ's Harvey Levin is coming up. And more highlights, including a new Christmas song from Cage the Elephant that they performed for us on the radio yesterday.
They wrote the day before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, how about that? Speaking of the Acoustic Christmas Show, thanks again to everybody who came out, and thanks to Joanna, Miss Double December, who joined us for the unveiling. Her first official duty wearing the crown at the Kevin and Bean Show was this weekend.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my...
So Saturday night, hi Joanna.
Hi.
So Saturday night, we're on the air from 5 to 7, and we say, hey, Joanna, stop by.
You're Miss Double December. Love to see you.
Stop by. Say hi, and we'll introduce you to the people. Okay, good. So it's 5 o'clock, and then I'm not there. And then it's 5:30, and then I'm there. And then it's 5:45, and then it's 6. And then we start saying, where's Joanna? And then King of Mexico says, oh, I got a text from her saying that she was in New Mexico. I don't know. She took a left when she should have taken a right. I don't know what happened, but she got to the broadcast on Saturday night at about 8:05. And we got off the air at 8.
Or seven,
whatever. She was there 5 minutes.
She missed it. She missed the whole broadcast.
Yeah.
And ordinarily, that's not news because, hey, it's K-Rock and people rarely show up where they're supposed to. But Joanna started to tell a tale that just sounded like I can't believe all that stuff happened to one person. Like, it sounded like a movie.
Worse than that, though, I got the feeling that Joanna's the type of girl that this stuff happens to all the time. Am I correct on that, Joanna?
Actually, no.
Oh,
no.
Please. I'm always on time.
This was a nightmare. This was a nightmare. I am not always on time. I'm always 5, maybe 10 minutes late. But this was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It was such a nightmare.
What happened that made it so difficult for you to get to the show, especially when I found out that you had rented a hotel room close to the Gibson Amphitheater so that you would be conveniently located?
Exactly. Do you want me to start with the mom story?
No.
Skip that.
Skip that part.
Okay. So I had to get a coupon. Couldn't find my mom. Found her. It ended up coming down to the cab. They said a cab would be waiting for us. So we were pressed for time, but we had enough time to get ready, get
right.
The cab. And there was no cab when we got down there. So then they call one. We tell them, okay, you know, thinking it'll be there. And about 15 minutes later, we're like, well, how long is this cab going to take? Oh, another 15 minutes. Okay.
And forget it. And you didn't want to drive because you knew you were going to be partying.
Yeah, that's why we got the hotel.
Sure, and the cab.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Okay,
and the cab.
But in Los Angeles, you got to know cabs. I mean, there's two of them, so you pretty much. Yeah, sometimes you have to wait a while.
I'm not familiar. Hopefully, I'll get more familiar with the area.
All right.
So then we go to get the car, and I guess the Christmas party had started. So as soon as we moved the car, all the parking was gone, and we couldn't figure out how to get the arm up in the parking lot. So they told us to swipe our room keys in an overcharged room. Okay, we swiped the room key. We put in a ticket. We put in my credit card.
Uh-huh.
We put in, like, everything you possibly could. And then the cab gets there. So we're just driving around because we can't get out of the parking lot.
Sweet.
And so finally the cab driver's like, okay, just have your friend follow me out. We'll valet the car. Well, we go to follow him out, and she can't get through because it goes down right away. So I got out of the car in my tiara, out of the cab in my tiara.
Yes, let me stab you right there, Joanna. Joanna's wearing a beautiful outfit. She's all made up and her hair's done. She's got a tiara. She's got the Kevin and Bean Miss Double December sash on. She's ready for her night out, and she can't leave the damned hotel.
So you got out of the car, and then you tried to lift up that arm bar?
I did. I lifted it. It was
sweet.
Actually pretty easy. I was surprised.
So all right.
She got through.
Good tip. And then if you need to get out of that parking garage, that arm is usually not that hard to move.
Are you panicking at this point? Are you looking at the clock going, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm blowing my first appearance as Miss Double D?
Yeah, I was pretty mad. I was pretty upset. I was stressed. It was like one of those nightmares where you just can't get to work.
Right. Yes.
It was horrible. And then so I ended up, we couldn't get the valet guy was gone, so I ended up going up to the front desk when he was checking somebody in, and I'm still, you know, looking how I look, and I slammed the keys down and I said, "We're leaving the keys here and you're gonna valet it and I'm not paying for valet."
Yes, good.
I was so mad, and so I'm like, "I'm just leaving the keys here," and these guys are looking at me like in the middle of their transaction. It was just
Who's the chick with the tiara? What's going on here?
Yeah, why does she dress like that? Is she crazy? I love that when we saw Joanna, when she finally did arrive after our broadcast was over, she was like, hey,
it was like she ran from the hotel
in high heels.
Yeah.
I mean, you really booked once you finally got to the Gibson to run to where the broadcast was.
Oh, yeah. And then it was uphill, and I'm just like, whatever.
You were a mess. It was hilarious. It's so funny.
It is really funny when somebody else is the best besides us.
I'm just terrified that, like, I hope this isn't how things will be for me.
This is going to be your reign.
I can guarantee you this is how things are going to be for you.
Joanna!
I was already dreaming that I missed the call this morning.
Oh, yeah. On a happier note, what'd you think about going to Acoustic Christmas free as Miss Double December? What was that experience like?
It was really great. I really enjoyed both nights so much. I am so tired today, but it was such a blast. I had such a good time.
She had a really good time on Saturday night, if I could say so.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Really good time. Yeah.
You see the Black Keys last night?
Yes.
Incredible, right?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I was so tired. I was just so enjoying it, but just like couldn't really party like everybody else was around me.
it was amazing.
What do you think was going on in Perry Farrell's pants? And the reason I say that is there's a photo that I put up at kevinandme.com or krock.com in a little photo gallery, but he's
packing something that wasn't natural.
Yeah, he's got like an extra microphone in there or something.
Right.
I don't know. Perry Farrell, the lead singer of Jane's Addiction, was on fire, A. B, he was drinking wine from the bottle, a bottle of wine.
It's very classy.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
And maybe there was no glass.
Maybe he didn't have a red Solo cup.
He needed a red Solo cup is what he needed. He had a tripod in his pants that was clearly, there was something going on there.
And he had hammer pants. He had those parachute pants for Hammer wore.
Right.
So I don't know what was going on with them, but it was really good times.
Joanna, do you take a lot of pictures with the other K-Rock listeners?
I did take a lot of pictures. I feel like I took more the first night, but it was a mess. So we'll have to go through the camera and see what happens.
This is a mess. She's going to have to go through like a hangover and figure out, put the pieces back together.
Oh, I know I had fun on Saturday because I always find something in my purse that doesn't belong to me. And I found two very nice ornaments from the hotel I was staying at.
It's great to have you in the family. It sounds like you're going to fit right in. And I don't know what we have planned for 2012, but I know we're going to do, you know, a breakfast with or a singles party or a trip to Vegas, or we'll do something. So we'll definitely see you again soon. So if we don't talk to you again, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Joanna.
All right, you guys too. Thanks so much.
All right, you're the best. Thank you for making me look early.
Getting near the end of the year here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we count down our top tens, top 10 internet roundup, top 10 moments with, I think is what's coming up, top 10 Omar intros later in the week. Good stuff. So we got that coming up for you next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Acoustic Christmas was Saturday and Sunday. Ralph, God bless you for always being at our live broadcasts on time.
I try.
Me too.
Because you hear, hey, the Kevin and Bean Show's on at 5, and you know what time you're there? Like 4:45.
Yeah. I give myself a little breathing room so I can make sure I'm there in time, so when the microphones go live, I'm actually there to speak into them.
And how about you, Kevin? How do you handle it?
Well,
when you hear 5 o'clock, what's the process?
What time did you get there, Ralph? Quarter to?
About 4:45.
I left my house at 4:45.
Oh, my God.
See, now, doesn't that bother you at all to be
Here's the thing. Sometimes when I'm on time, you guys make me feel bad. Oh, come on.
Well, because we have a pool. Because there's money on it.
And we're so used to you not being there that when you show up, we're prepared for you not to be there. So we prepare to do the show without you. When you show up, it throws a monkey wrench into our plans. Mm. We're not sure how to do the show.
So how do you want me to proceed? Like next year? Like it makes any difference.
Be consistent. That's what we want you to do.
That's right.
Either be there
or
don't be there.
One or the other.
I've been pretty consistent this year of not being there.
Yes, you have.
So. All right, so here's what happens. So Kevin isn't there. So, you know, fortunately, Ralph is the man of 1,000 voices. So it's very easy for Ralph to just put on the Kevin cap and be Kevin for the first break. So I think this is how the show started. Now, you haven't heard either of these yet. This is how the show started. And this is a pretty, I think you'll agree, Kevin,
this is a pretty accurate impression of what you would have sounded like had you been on time.
And most people don't even can't even tell that Kevin's not there when we start the show, because I think I do a pretty good Kevin after all these years. All
right. There's your Coldplay on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, a band that will not be here tonight. Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show apparently will not be here tonight either.
Oh, no, he's here.
Oh, wait. Well, oh, here he is.
What are you talking about? I'm right here.
Kevin, what happened? Where you been?
I went to Verizon Amphitheater.
Okay, but the show is here at the Gibson every
year. That's what I found out. And then it's all Christmas time, and I thought I was missing Christmas with my family. So I went home and opened some presents.
Okay, but it's December 10th, though. How could you be so...
I missed Christmas?
No, December 10th. The 10th is before Christmas.
Oh, when's Christmas this year?
It's always on the 25th.
Oh.
We gotta get your calendar or something, dude.
Oh.
So you're here, you're at the Gibson Amphitheater.
I'm here?
You are here, it's the 22nd annual. By the way, Kevin has turned into Ozzy Osbourne. Have you guys noticed? We are here for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yes, at the I can't Gibson wait for Incubus.
Okay, well.
Incubus rules!
Okay, there's a memo I gotta
what?
Show you. They're not gonna.
Whose leg is that?
Okay, never mind. World famous K-Rock, we'll be right back.
All right, so that was Saturday.
That
so
doesn't sound anything like me. How dare you?
And then Sunday rolls around, and it's 5 o'clock. And where's Kevin? Where's Kevin at 5 on
we
Sunday?
We thought for
Kevin?
Sure he'll be here on time for the second show, because he got the first one. He realized now the timing, what he needs to do
how
in order
long
to
it
get
takes
there on
to get
time.
From his house to the venue.
And that's I was. Right. I was there like 5 after. Usually we don't talk till about 10 after, so I figured I'd be fine. So
well, fortunately,
later we start talking 10 after.
Fortunately, Ralph was ready, so Kevin was in fact
come on
there.
Now.
Doing the Vandals on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. Kevin and Bean here at the Gibson Amphitheater. Kevin, what's going on, dude?
Happy Labor Day, everybody. It's just the end of summer, so everybody has to party. Let's get a party bus. Let's get a party bus and go to a party.
Actually, it's not the end of summer. It's
Vegas!
Okay, it's not in December. It has nothing to do with Vegas. This is the acoustic... Look, we had the rehearsal.
What?
Acoustic Christmas concert. We do it every year here at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Why do you do it on Labor Day?
We did it yesterday, right, Lisa?
There's only one Christmas. Why do you say it's two Christmases?
Oh, Kevin, come on. Two nights at the Gibson every year here on K-Rock.
I don't like Mel Gibson. He doesn't like the Jews.
This doesn't have... This is a... No... All right. You're so confused.
I'm not even here.
Here's somebody else who was here last night for night number one, a band called Bush on the world-famous K-Rock.
You sounded a little bit confused. Yeah, I think that was the point.
Here's what's funny. Maybe cut down on the pre-show drinking may be the way to go for Kevin.
I think these guys think...
Give him the breathalyzer!
These guys think at some point they're going to shame me into being there on time, but I find that funny. So
you have no shame, Jack.
Well,
no
that
shame.
Was your best break of the day,
it was.
Too. So.
I just got worse from there.
All right, and one more thing. We have so much. We're not even going to have time to recap everything for you today. But one more thing was the band Cage the Elephant stopped by. Very entertaining, by the way. And what did I say when we brought them on last night? You don't want to be the band that follows Cage the Elephant, because they are unbelievable live, as we saw last night if you were there or watching the webcast. But they prepared something special. Not a lot of the groups do Christmas songs, even though it's acoustic Christmas. They actually prepared a Christmas song that they played for us in front of a live audience before their set last night.
Yeah, which was weird, because we've never had that before. We've never had somebody come out to where we're broadcasting before the show and play live out there just before they play live inside. It was bizarre.
I thought it was very, very entertaining that they shared this with us. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, I think you might like it.
eventually leaves. How about you, Ralph?
Me too.
Hey.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Put your little voice boxes away, kids. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. By the way, quick reminder, if you hear a portion, and we hear so many people that come up to us all the time and go, oh, I listen to you guys on my drive to work. I get you 30 minutes a day. Well, there's a lot of other stuff you're not hearing. You can either listen through krock.com or you can subscribe, which is what I recommend, to the podcast through iTunes and never miss a precious moment. That way, Ralph, you can have the Kevin and Bean Show on your way home, too, if you want. If you download the podcast.
Yeah, you get one showbiz beat in the podcast.
Two. They put two in.
Oh, they put two in
now?
Yeah, it used to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the five you get to listen live.
Yeah, right. So what about all that other genius that they're missing?
Let's be easy with the genius word.
Anyway, podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Top 10 time. 2011, Moments With.
Uh-oh.
Moments With.
Now, Moments With are not our greatest moments on the show. This is the moments where we, whoever's talking, just melts down and loses track and can't get back, and nobody helps him or her, although it's usually him.
It started originally, boys and girls, this is how it all began, with Kevin. Because Kevin would be so wrong so often and so spectacularly that we thought we had to showcase it in its own feature. So we started, you know, picking on Kevin a little bit and pointing out his mistakes. But then we realized we all do it. Well, every one of us has those moments where we just lose the ability to move our mouths in conjunction with our brains.
So we keep track of that throughout the year. And now we're getting into the part of the year where it's the retrospect. We're looking back on 2011. And we present for you now the top 10 moments with of 2011.
Number 10 is Bean. I was talking about the fact that I like No Strings Attached, and he could not get his head around that.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You liked No Strings Attached?
I did.
Kevin, that was one of the worst reviews.
That was a moment with Bean.
And that's number 10.
Wow. Number 10. Yeah, there's 9 better than that.
Okay.
Number 9. Better.
Worse, yeah. Number 9 is Ralph.
What?
Doing the showbiz. Talking about a CD.
I never...
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Vanessa Carlton has a new CD. Rabbits on the Run. Is that what that's called right there?
Well said.
That was a moment with Ralph.
I don't know about you guys, but I hear the music to this in my head when I start screwing up. Like, as soon as you start screwing up, you're, then now, a moment, and you go, oh, this is going to be
a
disaster.
It just adds pressure and makes you worse.
Yeah. I should not ever quote anything from anywhere.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Wrong is wrong.
That's when good men fail to stand up, bad triumphs, or whatever that is.
Hey, Omar, shut up.
No, I think you nailed that quote.
I did. I got it right.
That was a moment with Kevin.
This does happen to me more than most. I was trying to tell people that Brooklyn Decker was going to be on the show.
Ah.
And I didn't do a very good job
of that. Sports Illustrated Supermodel.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And Brooklyn Decker, supermodel, and Sports Illustrated model cover.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I don't know why that ever happens. It doesn't happen to you guys. Like, you realize you said it wrong, and you go back and start again. But for some reason, I just think of another word. I just add it on.
The order isn't as important to you, the words.
Well, the order of numbers is important when you're talking about a phone number. And every once in a while, we forget that.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
1-800-520-what? 1-800-560-what? I cannot remember the number.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Well, you've already said it 100,000 times.
You say it so many times, it starts to lose all meaning to you. You don't register it in your brain anymore.
And then once that happens, once you realize it's gone,
nothing sounds right. No combination.
You could have said it right. It wouldn't have made any difference.
We are recapping the top 10 moments with on the Kevin and Bean Show for 2011. I think we're halfway through. We're at number 5.
We're at number 5. We're talking to Michael Jackson in heaven, or at least that's what all of the rest of us thought.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Janet Jackson. It's coming out soon, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Janet. Wait, who do we have? Do we have Janet or do we have Michael?
What?
I forgot what we were doing.
That was a moment with Bean.
And poor Michael on the other end of the phone, very confused.
He must have been very surprised. Michael expecting to do a bit about Michael Jackson must have been very, very confused when Janet was asked for.
We had Duff McKagan on the phone.
Oh, from Guns N' Roses. I love this one so much.
This is number 4, and I might have been unclear with my question.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Get up, Al. I know. And by the way, even after Omar said that, and Kevin was like, I didn't have anything in the Duff interview. What are you guys talking about? I was fine in the Duff interview. Man. How is that only number three? God, that's incredible.
I got to tell you, Omar compiled these. Omar compiled these, so okay. I don't know. I didn't pick them. But number two is Ralph.
What?
Wow. In a giveaway.
That's not.
For a movie that he was trying desperately to describe.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Adam Carolla, as you know, is the head head comedian. He's the leader of the
podcast, yeah.
Most downloaded podcast in the world, courtesy of the Guinness Book of World Records.
<That's> sweet. That was a moment with Bean.
That was three.
I think that was number three. Yeah.
We've got a new moment with Kevin of him introducing the moment with number two.
You know how drunk Omar is. He typed up this list and nothing on this sheet is corresponding with what we're actually having in the sound file. So I think we're up to number two now.
Two now, and it's Ralph and Moneyball.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Changed everything. Decided to save money on playing players. And enjoying. just call for
You've
the tickets.
Seen the ad.
Just call for the ticket.
That was a moment with Ralph.
That was pretty strong.
Unusually long for Ralph, too. Yeah. He usually gets it back together.
That sounded
quickly.
Like a rough morning for me.
And by the way, what about Lisa piping up over there trying to throw him a life vest?
She's nice. She's nice. You people are mean. She's
Why is
nice.
It not painful to watch what I'm doing?
I don't know.
Funny.
All right, so that's 10 through 2. We think we have the number one moment with for 2011.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
That's a toss up.
That was a moment with Kevin.
What was happening there?
Yeah, that was appropriate.
I don't know. I don't know because those words don't make it. And toss up, I get, but.
They're not words.
What's mata aso?
Mata aso, aso, toss up.
What was I trying to say?
We don't know.
Something in African.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
Mata aso, that's a toss up.
That was well a done. Moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the once and future champion, K-Rock's Kevin.
There you go. I cannot be.
You guys want to feel good about the job that we're doing here?
Yes.
You want to hear how we're inspiring the children?
Yes.
Slevin writes in.
Ah, Slevin.
Dear Kevin and Bean, you guys have inspired me to get into radio because now I see that anyone can do it.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Slevin?
That's a toss-up.
That's a good point, too, Kevin. Let's not forget that.
Thank you.
That All right. marathon question, though, with Duff McKagan still just kills me.
That's a pretty good
one. It's strong.
It's the strongest thing because it goes on for about 8 minutes before it gets to its non-conclusion.
at least it doesn't have a point.
Packed full of things that mean nothing to anyone. And then it just comes to a crescendo of inconsequence.
It's bad sex and no orgasm.
Oh, God.
That's what it is.
It's perfect.
Joe Rogan joins us after the top of the hour to talk UFC 140 and the return of Fear Factor. This is finally the week. So we talk to Joe coming up next, Andrew Siciliano next hour, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com too. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Real quick, heads up. I want to give people the information that we are doing our Hollywood Babylon New Year's Eve show again this year.
When is it going to be this year?
This year it'll be on New Year's Eve.
Oh, December 31st?
Yeah, December 31st,
okay.
Which is a Saturday night, which is our regular night anyway. We're doing a big show of Palooza. It's going to be over 2 hours. We're going to have games and prizes, and we'll be crowning a Mr. Penis and Miss Sandwich.
Huh?
And Jason Mewes will be stopping by, who, of course, was Jay of Jay and Silent Bob fame. And it's going to be a big extravaganza there at the John Lovitz Theater on City Walk at Universal. So you can go to thelovitz.com if you want to get tickets. If you're making your New Year's Eve plans, we would love to see you there. And we're going to be there this Saturday night as well, too, Tom Bien. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Lackluster weekend at the box office. Apparently, everybody was at Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Nobody was going to the movies.
Mm.
New Year's Eve, the new Gary Marshall romantic comedy, was number one.
but it only made $13.7 million. So
that's nothing.
It's not a great number one.
What was...
it's like coming number one with the Special Olympics.
What was the Twilight?
Breaking Dawn, Part 1. That only made $7.9 million.
No, but I mean, the first weekend was 100.
In 10 days, it passed $500 million worldwide. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it was over $50 million the first weekend.
The Sitter was number two at the box office. $10 million, then Breaking Dawn. The Muppets and Arthur Christmas rounded out the top five.
Hugo 3D was sixth. The Descendants, Happy Feet 2, Jack and Jill, and Immortals rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Jennifer Aniston, who's been named the sexiest woman of all time by Men's Health magazine. You know all the women ever?
Yeah.
And all the time of
yes,
it?
Yes, no.
She is the sexiest one
That's
out of all of them.
Not the least bit possible.
It is Men's Health magazine, Kevin.
It's not possible.
Look, she's very attractive.
I agree.
And Times is sexy, too.
No, I agree. You're mistaken. She is the sexiest woman of all time.
That's crazy.
According to Men's Health magazine.
Again, nothing wrong with her. She's beautiful. But not top 10. Not top of all time.
Here's the nine she beat out for her achievement. Raquel Welch, number two.
Okay, just stop right there, because this makes the whole list ridiculous.
Raquel Welch, for those of you who don't know, was like the Sofia Vergara of her time.
Yeah.
Just built like ridiculous, giant, natural, and curves, and just stunning. And I think she's in her 70s now. You see her today.
Yeah.
She's still a damn good-looking woman.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, of course, one of the biggest sexual icons of all time. Third on the list.
But not as sexy as Jennifer Aniston, Ralph.
Who could be? She's the sexiest woman of all time, Bean. Madonna and Britney Spears round out the top five. Pamela Anderson, pinup girl Betty Page, original Bond girl Ursula Andress, Jane Fonda, and Angelina Jolie were the other nominees she beat out.
Angelina Jolie is the top ten.
Yeah, that's honked up.
All time.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
Khloe Kardashian is very upset.
Where the hell is she on that list?
And she's very upset that her sister, Kourtney, is pregnant yet again by cosmic douchebag Scott Disick.
We're all upset.
We all are. That's one thing we can all agree on. She's been trying to get pregnant forever, she tells sources, but she and Lamar just haven't been able to conceive. She said she feels like she's letting everyone down. We're not waiting for you to have a baby, Chewbacca. Relax.
What an unbelievable statement that is.
We don't need more Kardashians, right?
But her fans are waiting for the news. You know, we're waiting to see what happens in their lives. She's letting us down.
Wow.
I hope Lamar knocks up everyone, every woman in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he takes more shots than Lee Harvey Oswald. Their next step, apparently, is in vitro fertilization. That's where they're headed.
Oh, no, that means they're going to have, like, twins or triplets. That's not good either.
But she can carry them. She could carry, like, a litter.
Think how big they do, though.
She'd carry 20 of them if she had to.
Well, look at horses. They drop foals, and, you know, her babies will just walk right away when they come out. They'll just
be 10.
Shake off the muck and just start walking around. She said she's sad, by the way, to be leaving Los Angeles for Dallas. But she tweeted an inspirational Bible quote from Jeremiah to...
Great.
He also lived in Texas, if I recall.
He did.
I'm very upset as well. Please help.
So, a lot going on in Chloe's life, but baby making is priority number one.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, sir. That's not what happened.
All right, I want to ask you guys a question that calls for speculation. I'm sure they had a lot of legitimate reasons for the strength of the Lakers team to trade Lamar Odom.
Right.
Do you think there was a tiny percentage where they're sitting around going, seriously, we got to get this Kardashian thing out of the Staples Center. Let's just trade Lamar, and that way we don't have to worry about Khloe.
We have to purge ourselves of all things Kardashian.
You think that might have had even a tiny part to play in the
decision? It's not a negative.
I don't think it
didn't hold him back.
Yeah. I don't think it did, but I hope it did.
No one in the meeting said, but then we lose out Khloe. We don't have Khloe as a fan anymore. I don't think anyone brought that up. So it's not a bad thing. And what do you do when your Playboy pictures have been leaked online? Well, if you're Lindsay Lohan, you take off for a little vacation. Have you seen her photo spread,
horrible.
By the way?
Horrible.
I have not.
I think they're nice.
It's an unbelievably boring, just one layout, you know, not a bunch of different things.
I think I've learned 3 years.
She's wearing
years
so much makeup, it barely looks like her.
I think she looks hot and her body looks good.
Fantastic. Very disappointing.
I'm with Ralph on this.
First,
one.
The cover was leaked online, and now the entire photo shoot has been leaked online.
Where?
Oh,
everywhere.
Just about anywhere, yeah. But what she has done is they've replicated the backdrop and the setting of Marilyn Monroe's pose for
right.
Playboy, which was the first centerfold ever in the history of Playboy magazine. So they've gone back and recreated that. So it's a lot of red velvet drapery, and she is just bare naked, no props, no set or anything. She's bare naked, just posing on
no
this
vagina.
Red drapery. Oh, it's, not, it's Playboy.
I know, I understand
You're
that, but I
get gynecological shots from Playboy.
No, you don't expect that at all.
But her full bosom is on hefty
her
display.
Her bosom looks good.
Her creamy white freckled skin is there for all to see. And
but
she
the
looks
airbrushers
delicious.
Work overtime.
Why
on
do
her.
You hate women? Why
I don't.
Are you not
I'm
a man?
She is so airbrushed, you can barely tell it's Lindsay Lohan. Lisa,
she
have you
looks
seen
good.
I haven't seen him yet.
I think she's pretty good.
So disappointing.
Yeah, that's my favorite shot there, the one you're going to now. We're looking them online here as we speak, if Muggs can ever get around to showing us the photo.
It's the computer!
Yeah, it's the computer.
It is!
It's the computer's persona, I think. I don't think it's even the computer.
Yeah. And what happens? You asked a good point. What do you do when your photos have leaked? I mean, the plan was they paid a lot of money so people would go out and buy the Playboy magazine issue.
Yeah.
Now, what's the incentive?
Do another photo
shoot. She's off in Hawaii to get away from the paparazzi and the press with her sister, Allie. And Hefner apparently has moved up the release date for On Stands to try to mitigate the damage by trying to get the magazine out there for as many people to buy as possible.
You would think they would have super tight security so stuff like that wouldn't leak. It's kind of shocking.
I'd have it on lockdown.
Boring!
Shut up.
Why do you not like naked women?
I love naked women. Lindsay just doesn't look good in this photo shoot. And it's
she
a
looks
boring
as good
photo
as she
shoot.
Has in a long, long time.
Okay.
All right, New York.
Look how much makeup she's wearing, too, by the way.
Less from you, New York.
Can you pull up one picture, Mug? Any picture? Well, not that one. We've seen that one already. Oh, God.
Muggs is not the go-to
Come
guy.
Come on!
You were weak.
This one.
Yeah, that's right. The same one you just pulled
that's
up.
Same one. Only,
stupid
only it's cropped out her boobs now. They're showing us a shot with none of her boobs.
Let's say goodbye because we have Joe Rogan standing by.
Celebrity birthdays today. You want those?
Yes,
no,
please.
No, never mind. No.
Sure. All right.
Say goodbye.
Okay.
Screw
goodbye.
It. Screw it. Screw it. You don't like women? I don't like you.
Look at
like
yourselves.
Yeah, New York. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show to give us the latest installation of Tebow Mania as he sweeps the nation. First, though, how about our old friend Joe Rogan, who's just got so much going on right now. You can see him on stage at the Melrose Improv New Year's Eve. Go to HollywoodImprov.com. Of course, the Joe Rogan podcast. Fear Factor returning to NBC tonight at 8 o'clock. And Joe, let's start with us watching you on the TV Saturday night. Oh my God, UFC 140, dude.
Oh my God, yeah, dude. That was probably one of the craziest UFCs of all time.
Frank Mir is a scary mofo. And
he gets a hold of your arm, man. Tap.
He just about got knocked out in the first round. I mean, really a great, great shot. And I thought, oh my God, he's stumbling. He's literally going to go out. And then they rolled over a couple of times, and then he gave him a chance to tap.
He didn't want to. You know, Minotauro has a lot of pride in that he is considered by most people to be the premier submission artist in MMA.
He didn't want to
get his arm broken, but that's how it goes.
His arm did not. His arm did not share. Yeah, you guys showed it over and over again. I was like, oh, I gotta look away.
Kevin was getting queasy. Is it what about when you're a few feet away and you're seeing some of those injuries in person, Joe? Does it affect you at all?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's hard to watch. I mean, it's you know, you're caught up in the moment. It's crazy. You know, the big screen shows the replay over and over again, and it takes a while. Like oftentimes, like after the fights are over, when I'm in my hotel room thinking about it, that's when it really hits me. Like wow,
yeah. And then
that was a nutty night. To watch his arm snap like that, though.
And then you see that and you go, well, that's it. That's the fight of the night. And then you get to the headline fight and to see what happened to Machida. I mean, it looked like they flipped a light switch and just turned him off.
Yeah.
And he was still standing.
The standing guillotine's a tough choke to defend if you do it the way John Jones does it. John Jones is just really a one-of-a-kind athlete. I have never seen anybody like him in MMA. In all the years that I've been covering it, there's never been a kid who came along that got so good, so fast, and so far ahead of everybody else in the competitions.
We were watching backstage at our concert, so we couldn't hear what you guys were saying, but we were just watching the fight, and Machida looked like he was
I don't know. It looked like he was dominating the first round. I mean, it looked like he really had things figured out.
Well, he definitely had a style that John Jones had never seen before, and his distance and his ability to move was unlike anything that John had ever fought before. And he was the first guy to ever catch John. You know, he caught John with some big punches.
Right,
but
right.
John showed that he could take a punch and then he could overcome adversity and, you know, keep his composure together. But when he took it to the ground, that's when Machida was doomed.
And he caught him with an elbow. John
is so physically strong, you know. He was wrestling since the time he was a little boy. And there's a strength that a person develops from wrestling that, you know, it's very different than something you get from the gym. You know, you look at him like he doesn't have the biggest muscles in the world, but man, when he gets a hold of dudes, he can ragdoll people.
I thought Machida's head was just going to pop off.
It was pretty nasty.
It was.
His head was turned at a totally unnatural angle. And the way John did it, Machida had no way out of that. He was going to sleep. If he didn't tap out, he was going to sleep.
We had Bones on last week, and that dude is so zen, too. I mean, he was like, hey, guys, how you doing? I'm looking forward to the fight. I'm ready to go, man. It's going to be a couple of days. You know, it's just so crazy to see. I mean, he's just so centered and so confident and so comfortable. And he knew. I mean, we even talked to him about this. With Machida coming out of karate, you know, that's not Bones' strength, that's for sure. We're like, how do you defend about? I mean, you've never fought a guy who has these karate skills. He's like, yeah, I started out thinking about trying to learn some karate, and then I thought, I just better stick to what I'm doing. And if I fight my fight, there's nothing he's going to be able to do to me. And it worked out for
him. Well, that was the case. You know, what he did, he was really smart in that he adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, he adjusted. He wasn't going well for him with the stand-up, so he said, let me just grab a hold of this dude.
Then
he just completely dominated him once he did that.
He was so
He's a really unique guy. Very intelligent kid. You know, it's not just his physical attributes, it's his mind as well.
Yeah, you could see
when he's so zen about everything.
You could see when he came out in the second round. It was a different fight. It was a different fighter.
Yeah.
We are talking to our friend Joe Rogan on the show, one of our all-time favorite Kevin and Bean guests. And actually, we should get in before we run out of time with you, Joe. The reason you're back, and people may not even realize, is that Fear Factor returns after 5 years away from the TV. Tell folks who haven't heard us discuss this before why you were interested in bringing it back to primetime.
Money.
Okay. Kids at home. Understood.
That's it.
Gotcha.
That's funny.
The only reason why I did it.
Now it looks
100% for the cash. It is a better version of the old show.
That's what I was going to say.
If you like the old show, it's bigger, better, crazier in high definition now, which the old show never was. And stunt technology has evolved quite a bit to the point where we got away with doing stuff that we could have never done on the old show and do it safely.
Tonight's
the explosions are bigger.
Tonight's episode, in one, an airlifted contestant must hop onto the back of a truck that's heading toward an explosive collision with a barrier. Like, what's happening
here?
That's
like Mission Impossible stuff, dude.
Yeah, it is like big Hollywood movie stunts. It was really, that explosion was so big that we were watching it from 700 yards away, and my clothes moved during the explosion.
It
was ridiculous.
This looks so much, and by the way, Fear Factor was known for being extreme. Like, that was the extreme show. This looks like it makes the original Fear Factor look like nothing.
Well, it certainly does. We knew that we couldn't just bring the old show back. You know, I mean, the old show was shocking when it first came out, but it wouldn't be shocking today. It would be welcome. People would go, oh, Fear Factor's back. But it wouldn't be like, whoa, this is crazy.
Right.
It would be like, oh, did you see Fear Factor last night? Hey, they're back to their old shenanigans again. But it's not like that. It is a bigger, bolder, crazier, more evolved show. It's just, as shocking as the first show was, this show is even more shocking.
Tell me about the type of person who tries out for Fear Factor. What drives them?
They vary. You know, you have, of course, your basic attention whore.
Right.
Those are always there. But you also have people that are just doing it for fun, for a thrill. You have people that are doing it because they're broke and they would literally do anything to get out of credit card debt.
Yeah.
You know, it really varies.
Do you have people that think
one thing that we notice is that
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, people are way better at being contestants now. They understand it now. Like, reality television, when we first came on in 2001, was really the redheaded stepchild of media.
Right.
Nobody wanted it. I mean, it was almost an embarrassment. It's like, oh, yeah, and then we got Fear Factor, too. You know? But now, look, we never got the kind of promotion that we're getting now.
No.
Never.
And you know what?
I've watched...
You're absolutely right. NBC was, they'll take the ratings because the ratings were good, but they were embarrassed by Fear Factor. They didn't want to admit that it was on their network, and now they're in a bad spot, and they're desperate for ratings, and they're like, Fear Factor, watch it.
Yeah, and when you're, you know, you're watching things like Real Housewives and the Kardashians and the Jersey Shore, this stuff way more disgusting than Fear Factor.
Yeah.
It's on television every day.
Absolutely.
So it's not nearly as shocking to people.
Fear Factor airs tonight at 8 o'clock on NBC. Check it out, and don't miss Joe Rogan. That's a great gig, New Year's Eve, Melrose Improv. You won't have a better time there. Buy your tickets at HollywoodImprov.com. Joe, once again, calendar year is almost slipping away here. You've been a fantastic guest. Thank you so much for all the time you've given the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll look forward to talking to you next year, dude.
Please, thank you, guys. I love you guys.
You're
one of my favorites of all time.
Thank you.
Harvey Levin joins us from TMZ.com coming up in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to play portions of our interview back with the band Sublime and find out who's quitting the band for good. That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First though, Feast of Christmas was over the weekend. How weird was it to see Andrew Siciliano not in a suit? Like, that's a dude you always see in a suit, and there he was looking like a regular guy.
Yeah. No, I sort of liked it.
Thank you, guys.
Sis?
We had a great time. I can't thank you guys enough. It was a great show and a great time, and great to see you guys as well.
Who was your favorite that you saw last night, Andrew?
Let's see. I thought the Black Keys were great. I actually didn't stay for Juanas Adicción. I left after the Black Keys. They were great. I thought, you know, I'm old. To hear Noel Gallagher come out and do Don't Look Back in Anger and Wonderwall.
Some of the Oasis stuff.
Was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
I had never seen Florence in her Technicolor bathrobe. That was pretty cool.
She's unbelievable, right?
She's so powerful, and that is a bathrobe. I mean, it was like a pure.
It was.
Well,
it was
a great show.
It was a great show. We were happy that you were there. And, of course, we talked to you a little bit right when you came up, and we were all just shaking our heads going, freaking Tebow did it again.
Two minutes and eight seconds
left. He's down 10-0 to the Bears. How does anyone come back from that without divine intervention?
Look at this. They have won six in a row, okay? And four in the last four, they have trailed at the two-minute warning. Not just trailed in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
Trailed in the two-minute warning. So let's see, 63 days ago, they were 1-4. Right now, they are 8-5 and in first place.
Now, the reason
how he does it.
By the way, partially the reason that they are, and I think this guy should be getting more credit than he is their kicker made a 51-yarder and a 59-yard field goal.
That's crazy. Insane. And obviously, he's got great defense. And obviously, he's got Jesus on his side.
Yeah, and listen, I joked yesterday on the Twitter after Matt Prater, that's the kicker's name, after
right.
he made those kicks, I said, I can't believe Tim Tebow hit a 59-yard field goal because that is the way it will clearly be presented. And you know, I'm starting to rethink this, and obviously we're overthinking this. This guy is such a phenomenon. It's really hard to describe anymore. Everyone says that he wills his team to win. That is the phrase you most often hear.
Right.
That he believes and he works so hard that he wills his team to win. When you look at how the Bears blew it yesterday, here's a guy named Marion Barber, the Bears running back, who runs out of bounds. Denver was out of timeouts, so when you run out of bounds, the clock stops. Denver couldn't stop the clock. He wasted, rather gave them back 40 seconds. If he hadn't done that, there would have only been 10 seconds left when Denver got the clock. It would have been humanly, physically impossible for them to rally and win. I'm convinced now that he doesn't rally his team to win with his will to victory. He actually makes the other team shoot itself in the foot or choke or do whatever that they believe it's coming, and so they ate it with their stupidity. Marion Barber, when he was younger, was known as Marion the Barbarian.
Yeah.
He was criticized. People said he wouldn't have a long career because instead of running out of bounds to preserve his body, that he attempts to run through people. Last night might have been the first time he ever ran out of bounds.
But how do you not let it get inside your head when you know you're playing the Denver Broncos and you know you're within 2 minutes and you've seen week after week after week it happen to other teams? In the back of your mind, you have to be put off a little bit by that, thinking, okay, what's going to happen? I know bad things are going to happen, but what's it going to be?
All right.
Looking ahead, does it finally end versus the Patriots next weekend, Andrew?
Oh, listen, I was convinced, and no one wanted to listen to me, that this past week, yesterday, the Bears, with Lovie Smith's defense, I don't care what the numbers say, he's a great defensive coach. Or this week, Bill Belichick, and forget what the numbers say, he's a great defensive coach, but the numbers say that statistically He has the worst defense in football right now. Forget about Tom Brady here. The Patriots win because they outscore people. On paper, there is no defense worse in the NFL than the Patriots.
But they only need to play defense for the last 2 minutes of the game.
Oh, I know. And the Bears had him won. They had the game won.
They did.
Brian Urlacher afterwards, you know, the Bears linebacker.
Yeah, yeah. This is hilarious.
Hall of Fame one day. Brian Urlacher said, he's a really good running back.
Is that awesome? By the way, you can smack talk when you win. It doesn't look good when you smack talk when you lose, though, right?
And Tebow's never said the wrong thing. You know what he said? He said, well, coming from a great player like that, that's a great compliment. And he did it without sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yep. He's too good to be true. I know. Well, listen, obviously there were lots of other games yesterday, including some very good games, but it's all about Tebow. Real quick, what do you got on the NFL Network tonight? Of course, you'll be on before and after the Monday night game, St. Louis-Seattle, right?
Exactly. Before the game, Warren Sapp, Brian Billick, Jim Moore, the new UCLA head coach. Actually, he works with us on Mondays. Hopefully he's working, although I can't promise that he will be.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on right now.
And then after the game, hey, speaking of UCLA, how about USC? Willie McGinnis will be with us the entire day. Total Access, Kara Henderson, yours truly, NFL Network.
4 o'clock, NFL Network, and look for Andrew on the DirecTV Red Zone. Great to see you again, man. I don't think we'll talk to you again before the holidays, so Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll do it again in 2012.
All that stuff, you guys as well. Thanks for the last
Thank you, Andrew.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming along here again in a minute. Mondays mean TMZ.com. Our friend Dax on the phone from the TMZ newsroom. Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
I'm good. Good morning.
Well, thank you for joining us. Listen, we need you to be the deciding vote. The Lindsay Lohan Playboy pictures. What's the consensus among you guys in the newsroom about whether they're good or not?
Well, I didn't think they were bad.
Right.
I mean, they're very like old Hollywood, Marilyn Monroe, you know. But at the same time, like, I've already seen all this stuff. Lindsay, I've seen her boobs 900 times. She goes around, walks out topless, or. Mm-hmm. Flash to the camera.
Let's not downplay that. That's all good. Right?
So no, and the best part is this morning I even have bikini photos of her out on the beach.
Saw that.
And her top is like falling down and you see half of her nips. And you're like, it's Lindsay Lohan.
It's very tough to contain those. I mean, they're something else.
I thought they were pretty classy. She did a good job.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm in the minority here this time. Speaking of Lindsay.
You didn't like them?
I didn't like them at all. I thought she has way too much makeup on. I thought they were boring. I thought they were samey. I mean, the fact that there's like 8 of them and they're all about the same, you know what I mean? I wanted to see a little bit of variety in the shots. I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
I was happy.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't complaining. Yeah.
Tell me about Hawaii. What happened with her purse, dude?
Okay, so she went out there, she was watching the whole surf competition, and she left her purse in the car. Well, she realizes she left it in the car, goes out, and it's gone. And this is a $5,000 purse packed with cash, all of her IDs, the paperwork from the probation office saying that she can even travel. And she starts freaking out, questioning everyone in the party, can't find the purse. Finally, the purse shows up the next day, and her $10,000 that she had in cash in the purse is gone, but everything else is there.
Sorry, did you say $10,000 in cash?
$10,000. Why are you carrying around $10,000?
Wow.
Yeah, why not a credit card and an ATM card? That's all you need.
I have no idea. What is she paying for in cash?
Now,
that's what I want to know.
Well, that's a scary question we're talking about, Lindsay. Now, do they think that it was random, that her car was just, the window was smashed and someone stole a purse, or do they think that somebody knew it was Lindsay Lohan's purse and stole it because of that?
Well, the thing is, I think if you look in a car and you see this really expensive-looking purse, it was like a $5,000 Chanel purse or something like that, they're probably going, oh, cool, I'll grab that. But at the same time, we've got this audio of her just flipping out because she was worried that if she wasn't going to have her ID, she wouldn't be able to fly back to the United States, fly back to California, and then she wouldn't be able to show up for the court hearings and all that kind of stuff. And so she's like, if I have to go to jail because someone stole my purse.
She was freaking out. But you know what I thought about that was you shouldn't have lied the first time. If you cry wolf.
Oh, because she tried to use this excuse before, right?
No one believes her.
I lost my passport.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, she did do that, right, Dad?
She
tried
that way back from the Cannes film. Oh,
right.
She's like,
right.
Oh, I can't find my stuff. Someone stole my passport. I can't fly back. So the judge was like, no.
Right.
Interesting. Not falling for that one again.
All right. Dax, hold on the phone with us from TMZ.com. Real quick, in our remaining moments here, Dax, we also were having this discussion earlier today. Do you think the Lakers are sort of glad to have Lamar in Dallas because now they don't have to deal with anything to do with the Kardashian universe?
I don't think so. He had a great season. Why would they want him off the team? You know, and even Kobe was speaking up. He was like, look, it was not the distraction of the Kardashian show. He had a great season, so you can't blame this on Khloe or anything that he's been doing with them.
Yeah.
And he was not happy with it. And, I mean, honestly, this is not going to hurt him at all. He's going to go out to Dallas, probably do great with them. Chloe's going to go with him. They'll still film the show.
They're doing their reality show from out there, right?
Yeah, they're just going to pick up, move out there, I think starting maybe as early as today even, and move out there, and they'll just start filming the whole thing. And, I mean, it doesn't matter where they're at. There's still going to be cameras there, and the show's still going to do awesome.
And he is going, let's not forget, he is going to the current world champions, too. It's not like they traded him to a dog team or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, great stuff as always. So much good stuff on the site. You guys are 24/7, man. TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Dax, thanks so much for coming on, man. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
It sure is, my friend.
Hey, Ralph Garber, with the Showbiz Be Done on Monday, Kevin and Bean Show.
Who else is eating Neapolitan freeze-dried ice cream right now? Who else?
Wait, freeze-dried?
Nobody, just me.
Me?
Freeze-dried ice cream, bitches. Ah!
I have my hands up.
Is it good?
Yeah, here, what, are you doing astronaut training during the records? Where did this come from?
A little chocolate ice cream, Lisa. I'll have a little chocolate ice cream.
Gosh.
Is
it
good? It's ice cream.
Mm.
It's space ice cream. It's ice cream from space.
Why do you
better than any ice cream you ever have?
Why do you have that?
Because I'm from space.
You're not.
I'm an Apollo astronaut.
You're not any of that.
No, it came. And, you know, the movie companies send these promotional packages out,
right? Uh-huh.
And they
just an ice cream movie we've been waiting for.
No, it's Apollo 18. Remember the movie was in theaters?
Oh yeah, it's coming out on DVD this week.
Yeah, it's coming out on DVD. So they sent me a copy, and along with it was a sealed foil pouch filled with freeze dried Neapolitan ice cream.
How about that?
Yeah. So I'm enjoying a little freeze-dried space snack here, and you aren't.
So this is the thing that they would send up into space so that the astronauts would have ice cream and not have to freeze it.
Exactly.
Let's clarify this further.
People may not have heard of freeze-dried space food before.
Space food,
that's
man.
Very exciting, Ralph.
I mean, space food.
And I want to see that movie. I missed it in theaters. I love the concept of that movie.
Yeah, scary, scary idea. Very cool. I'm going to have some ice cream.
Mmm!
It crunches.
Mmm, that's crunchy ice cream right there.
Ice cream's not supposed to be crunchy.
Burn!
Not a burn.
Burn. Burn.
No burn.
Let's give away some tickets while we're talking about movies. This is a pretty cool thing. If I was you, I would like me a lot because I'm doing it. Pair of passes to the advanced K-Rock screening of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, there it is.
How good does that movie look?
It's awesome.
The next big franchise, right?
You will see it on the lot. At Sony Pictures, Monday, December the 19th. Movies in theaters everywhere on the 21st, but you will be one of the first people to see it Monday, December the 19th.
And I want to see that movie. I missed it in theaters. I love the concept of that movie.
Yeah, scary, scary idea. Very cool. I'm going to have some ice cream. Mmm!
It crunches.
Mmm, that's crunchy ice cream right there.
Ice cream's not supposed to be crunchy.
Burn!
Not a burn.
Burn. Burn.
No burn.
Let's give away some tickets while we're talking about movies. This is a pretty cool thing. If I was you, I would like me a lot because I'm doing it. Pair of passes to the advanced K-Rock screening of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, there it is.
How good does that movie look?
It's awesome.
The next big franchise, right?
You will see it on the lot at Sony Pictures, Monday, December the 19th. Movies in theaters everywhere on the 21st, but you will be one of the first people to see it Monday, December the 19th. If you are, let's take the first two callers to get through right now at 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through, get a pair of passes.
Now, the first two callers are number 20 and 21, though, right?
No, first two calls.
First two.
Oh, that's just beer mug. Sorry.
It's beer mug, yeah. First callers, 10 through 15, or whatever you said.
Nuts.
It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Lackluster movie weekend. In fact, worst box office weekend since 2008.
Ouch.
Not a lot of money spent at the movie theaters this weekend. You understand the concept of freeze-dried food, Kevin?
Yeah.
They said they freeze-dry it.
Right, I got it.
It takes the moisture out of it because they make it so cold.
And it lasts forever. And then you
then you give it to the astronauts in space.
Uh-huh.
That's great, huh?
Yeah, so you didn't have to put this ice cream in the freezer at all.
No.
You can just unwrap
it. It's freeze-dried. Being
room temperature, and it's still cold.
That's right, and I can still enjoy the delicious taste of ice cream.
That's amazing.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Top 10 movies at the box office. New Year's Eve, $13.7 million. Number one. The baby... It's written The Babysitter here. It's making me furious.
Yeah.
I keep saying it, and what they meant to say. I'm going to scratch out that baby right now. Here we go. The Sitter, $10 million. Made it number two this weekend. Twilight's Breaking Dawn Part 1 was 3. The Muppets, 4th. Arthur Christmas was 5th.
Freeze-dried food makes you salivate a lot.
Yeah, really.
There's no moisture in the food, and yet it draws the moisture out of my mouth.
Not as good as you thought.
Could we get some water for Mr. Garvin, please?
Less of a burn.
Any of the staff is listening.
No, I got some coffee right here. I'll be okay. Arthur Christmas was number 5. Hugo 3D was 6th. The 3 in 3D threw me. It's a rough morning.
Yes.
The Descendants, Happy Feet 2, Jack and Jill and the Immortals round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. All right, let's talk about birthdays since I missed it in the last hour. I want to make sure these people get their birthday shout-outs because some celebrities get very sad if they don't hear their names mentioned on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I doubt it.
There have been times where you have actually got an email from somebody who's like, hey, what's up?
Usually it's, hey, it's not my birthday, stop saying it. That's usually the email I got. Got that from Ken Jeong, remember him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. From Community and Hangover. Yeah. He finally contacted me and said, could you please stop saying it's my birthday because everyone is saying happy birthday to me and tweeting happy birthday and emailing me, and it's annoying because it's not my birthday.
You just make it once a week. You just say happy birthday.
Bob Barker, game show host for many, many years over there on The Price is Right, 88 years old. Dionne Warwick. You remember her from Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, what a bitch.
She was not a person
hateable
that I liked. 71. Sheila E.
Yeah.
What was her big hit, Bean? Sheila E.
The Glamorous Life.
The Glamorous Life, that's right.
How high did that go in the charts, Bean?
I don't know. I think that probably went to about number 5.
Did you?
When he says, I think, he knows.
He knows. It's number 5 on the charts. 54 years old today. Jennifer Connelly.
Oh. Yeah.
41.
Oscar winner.
That's right. Oscar winner. Also one of my favorite films of all time, The Rocketeer. She looks so beautiful in that film. I think that's the peak of her sexiness. Because she was kind of curvy back when she was younger.
Right.
And then, I don't know, she became a vegan or something.
Yeah, way too skinny.
She got way too thin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I liked her when she was just nice and freeze-dried. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what I meant.
Not the right word.
And Maya Bialik. She was Blossom on TV and now is on The Big Bang Theory from time to time. 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is The Naked and Famous, and it is 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I don't like to name drop or anything, but I was talking to Mike Shinoda backstage at Christmas. I said, dude, what's up? You're not, you don't even have to be here. You're not working. Your band is off. He's like, I love Naked and the Famous so much. I really wanted to see them. I thought it makes sense, you know? Just because you're in a rock band doesn't mean you're not a rock fan.
I was talking to Sean White backstage.
What did he have to say? Do you have an interesting story?
No, just a name drop.
Well, mine tied into the song we were playing. That's why I brought that up.
But I wanted to give you a worthless name drop.
Hey, Sublime is breaking up. We talked to the band about that on Saturday night. We've got that interview for you coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First though, I think we got a phone call.
We do. We have Mole.
Hey, Mole. How are you, man?
Hey, Kevin Bean. You know who he is?
Yeah, it's Mole.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Mole.
Hey, how about that Santa Claus concert, huh?
Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Yeah, were you there? I didn't see you.
Great. Can I give my review really quick?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well,
sure.
You started off really, really not good, you dudes.
Why?
Well, listen, can I tell you what happened?
Wait, were you there?
Okay, let me explain. Okay, here's what happened. You know how on the concert day, I get myself all in the holiday spirit. You know, you go full on Rudolph and you make your nose all red by horking up some crushed Percocets.
Right, of course.
Makes your schnoz feel like a chemical fire, like in the kids' story.
Right.
So anyway, so I headed over to the show super early. You know, I figured you guys were out front waiting for me with our tickets, and you're probably freaking out.
Right.
But you know how sometimes I get mixed up with directions and stuff when I snort crushed up Percocets?
Yeah, occasionally that happens.
So I think I maybe went to the K-Jazz Christmas brunch at the Bay at Spaghetti's by mistake.
Oh, man.
That's a different show, right?
Yeah, very different.
Knew it.
Yeah.
Is there really a K-Jazz? Is that a thing, Mo?
It is not cool at all.
Did you not enjoy it?
A lot of Dave Koz and crab omelets.
Wow.
Right when the dope started kicking in.
Wow. Yeah, that's not what you need.
You need more dope at that moment.
I drank a bucket of Bellinis and bailed.
We did. We were. If this makes you feel any worse, we were sitting there waiting for you for about an hour.
Oh, yeah. I missed Flomax.
You missed Florence and the Machine.
They were tremendous.
I think she goes by Flomax now.
She doesn't.
No, I don't think so. I think that's a prescription that you take if you're having urinary tract problems, Mom.
Oh,
yeah, it helps you pee.
Did she wear a long hippie dress and yell at everybody?
That she did.
She certainly did.
Hilarious.
Yeah, she is hilarious.
Hey, how about Gallagher's bird shed? He smashed him with his watermelon hammer?
Okay, this was Noel Gallagher from Oasis. This wasn't the comedian Gallagher.
You guys really got to start advertising this thing more clearly.
Well, I mean, I think we were pretty clear about who it was.
How about the Blackies?
The Black Keys.
That is a lot less offensive.
And they were great.
Well, I think we learned our lesson.
Yes, we did, and that's not to talk to you after a show.
Bean's got to start picking me up on the way in his Fiat.
Yeah, we'll look for us next time.
All right, I'll be right out front. Bean.
Okay, all right, wait for us. We'll find you.
Later, dude.
Okay. Tell you what I'm tired of. I'm tired of Bean lying.
making up stories.
I didn't lie.
Spreading his lies.
About I didn't bands. Make any... Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm really tired. I'm starting to really catch up to us.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday here on the world-famous K-Rock. So Kevin was telling the story about his impression of what the events were that went down with the fight with Sublime in Hawaii recently.
I remember saying that, yeah.
And then we talked about how we saw the guys this weekend and that Bud announced that he was quitting. Josh Fries, you heard that whole thing minutes ago. And then
Bean said the band's broken up. There's no more Sublime. So
I didn't say that either. But then
all the lies.
The road manager for Sublime, Cheese, who we were talking about, then he calls in to producer Dave's phone and says, hey, the guys have some of their facts wrong, probably Kevin, right? And Dave said, yeah, probably Kevin.
Please.
Let's put him on the air and find out what's up. Cheese, how are you, man?
I'm very good, thank you.
What percentage of our facts would you say are wrong?
Well, I'm the manager, not the tour manager.
Okay. All right, there right there you got us. Okay.
One. There's one. A fact that you got wrong, Bean.
All right.
Bud is leaving to have a child. I wouldn't say that he's having marital problems. It's just that this band really is touring a lot compared to what they've ever done, and more than Bud's ever toured. And back in the old days, when Bud was in the band, they didn't have families.
Right.
So this time, when we reunited, there were different circumstances, and he didn't anticipate all the stress of being gone all the time.
Hey, by the way, I don't think either any of us were judging that situation. We would all have marital problem, meaning the wife would not be happy if you
if you're on the road all the time,
kid,
right?
You're gone all the time, so we weren't trying to disparage him. I hope you know.
No. Okay. That was it, and I knew it came at a bad time because Bud and I fight like the Robinson Brothers from the Black Crowes constantly.
Sweet.
And you know, it's a love hate relationship, and I love Bud, and he is like,
so he must hate you. That's the other half of that relationship, then.
Well, yeah, I think Bud he loves me today. So
today.
I'm only going day by day.
All right,
okay. So when Bud announced to us, "Hey, I'm leaving the band," it was a shocker to us. And my first thought was, "Is it as a result of the tension that was going on between you and him?" But it sounds like you're saying that's not the case.
No, it's not the case. And it was a shocker to us at that point, too, because we were going to formulate a press release and do this in the normal, proper way.
Right. See?
And then I didn't hear the interview because I was in the dressing room the other day. We said we were talking about things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
it's out there. All of a sudden, it's been announced.
But here's what happened: is Bud said, "I'm stepping down." And I said, "What are you going to do for drums?" And they just shouted out immediately, "Josh Fries." And you know, we didn't even know at that point if Bud was telling the truth or if they were just throwing out a name of a guy who plays drums for everybody. You know, we didn't have an idea. And then I ran into Josh later in the night. And he's like, yeah, that was a surprise to me that they announced
it. Yes, we had breakfast with Josh the other day, and we're looking at a couple of different drummers besides Josh that are our friends. And Josh said, yeah, you know, let me think about this. It might be something I'm into, but I have to work it around Weezer.
Right.
So please don't say anything.
Beautiful. That's perfect.
I figure it out, and then I talk to the other people that I'm working with.
Right. Okay. Well,
I said, great.
You guys are going to find somebody that's a good fit. The band will go on. Is it still, in your mind, you're the manager for Sublime. Is it still Sublime if it's 1 out of 3 now?
Okay. After Brad died,
yes,
it was never Sublime again.
Okay.
It was Sublime with Rome. Rome brings in a new element.
Right.
They play all of Brad's old songs.
Right. Understood.
And he does them justice. The family likes the fact that he does it.
Understood.
So then it went from that point on. Rome wrote most of this new record,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds very much like Sublime, but it is Sublime with Rome. So
understood.
Now
is it going to be Sublime with Rome and Josh?
With Rome and Josh, but we're not going to label it. That'll just be Sublime with Rome.
Okay.
We're going to still play all the old songs, all the new songs. And at some point, the door is always open for Bud to come back. And I do expect to see Bud coming back for certain shows and making appearances.
Oh, hey, that'd be pretty cool.
Look, Ralph will tell you, man, it sounds great on paper to be home with that baby. But after about a couple of weeks, he's going to be like, please.
He'll be begging you for a gig.
Let's book an Australia tour. Come on.
Exactly, yeah. You don't want to stay home too much with me.
Exactly. All right, Cheese. I think we are up to date then. But as we told the guys Saturday, and we'll tell you again, they couldn't have been any better Saturday night. It was a fantastic show, and Rome is just an amazing entertainer now. I mean, he's really come out of his shell in the last year or so, hadn't he?
Yeah, it's been a whole different transformation for this guy, and I really, we do good with the new fans, and I hope that we're making the old fans proud as well. And Rome's not trying to be Bradley.
No, he's not. We get that.
Hey, listen,
we're trying to keep his songs alive and get them out to the people.
Absolutely,
we're big fans. We told them that to their faces. We tell you that. So we wanted to get you on the air so we can make sure we got our story straight. And when Bean lies, we like to straighten him out.
Yeah, we apologize for Bean once again.
Please,
no, thank you.
So, keep in touch with us, dude. Thanks so much for everything.
Absolutely, thank you, guys.
All right, cheers.
Thank you, man. Bye.
See you later. Nice job, Kevin.
Stupid Bean.
Done with your lying now, guys? You done? Can we tell some truth? Now can it be my turn to tell the truth?
Now it's the lie report?
I love Bean's new toy. He got me a little toy here. I've got sound effects right at my fingertips.
Wish he didn't.
I'm getting pretty excited about it.
It's high quality, too.
Yeah.
Don't give me no back talk.
All right, you don't have to counter his with yours.
We don't need your Mr. T keychain. This is real professional sound effects here. I'm getting excited.
That is professional.
It is.
You're right.
Strong.
It is.
Oh, don't be upset.
Get up, fool.
Stop with the Mr. T.
Get up, fool.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? It's Monday. It means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. New Year's Eve. What are you doing New Year's Eve? Going to the movies, I guess. $13.7 million in its debut. Made it number one at the box office. The Sitter was number two with $10 million in its debut weekend. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, The Muppets, and Arthur Christmas rounded out the top five, followed by Hugo 3D, The Descendants, Happy Feet 2, Jack and Jill, and Immortals. Not a good weekend at the box office.
No, very low.
The weakest box office weekend since September 2008, according to Industry Insider. So a lot of people did not go to the movies this weekend. Brooke Mueller may have finally realized she's got a bit of a drug problem. Insiders are telling sources like TMZ.com that Brooke, who was arrested on cocaine charges last week in Aspen, has agreed to go to rehab, making reservations at a treatment facility, and will be checking in very, very soon. Maybe 2013. She's looking at her calendar. She's trying to find what she's got open. You know, when she runs out of blow.
How about you get clean any year now?
Any year now. Charlie apparently paid her bail in Aspen and is footing the bill for her rehab.
Wow.
So that's kind of a nice gesture on his part.
How crazy is it that Charlie has essentially vanished?
Yeah.
After being everywhere all the time, always, for a long time, then all of a sudden
happier.
He just did the right thing.
Hiding.
Couldn't be happier to have him gone.
God, do you remember those Ustream shows where he would just sit in his house looking all coked up and just rambling?
That was a bad time. Bad time in our collective history.
Yeah.
The Charlie Sheen era that we all had to live through. Remember the winning t-shirts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Winning.
Stickers.
Winning stickers.
Yep. Everybody. That's their catchphrase. By the way, just while we're talking about catchphrases, if I could just butt in for a second. Dave the King of Mexico is part of a two-man group that's trying to bring back Wazza. I found I found this out last night at the Acoustic Christmas. Wazza! And they insist you do that.
Well, you know, Bean for a long time was a big proponent of Wazza. He would go out into, we'd have concert events. I think maybe it was even at Acoustic Christmas one year. Bean would come out and we sometimes...
But not when it was popular, though. Years after those commercials had already aired.
Well, I'm saying, I think you were part of this movement because, they were not popular any longer, yet you seem to still want to keep that alive.
Still cracks me up.
As if that was something that would live on past its due date.
I saw Super Steve at Acoustic Christmas this weekend. I said, Steve, how you doing? He said, what's up? So I can tell
he's the one. No, he's the other one.
He was into it, but he was not committed enough to it to say it out loud so anybody but me could hear it because he knew he would be mocked.
Here's Bean.
What's up? What's up? Is that the repeating for emphasis?
Yeah, he was bolstered by the reaction that he got from the first one.
He didn't get enough of a response to your
initial
what's
up. Bring it back.
It's not.
I'm saying. It's not
time to bring it back.
Spike Lee's doing an HBO movie about the former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry.
What a fascinating story that is.
This was a mayor of one of the most violent cities in America. He got popped in a drug sting. He went to federal prison for 6 months on drug charges stemming from a video of him smoking crack cocaine with a prostitute in a motel room.
And the motel room, you know, bugged with cameras and stuff, and they were in the next room, and he was in there and a prostitute and crack.
You'd think that for most people,
yes,
that would, I mean, Herman Cain couldn't run for president because he had a consensual sexual relationship. This guy's doing drugs with a hooker.
Yeah, well, he's still beloved.
Herman Cain also stole from Pokemon. He stole.
Well, he
stole
did do that. That's true.
The Pokemon
that's
movie. True, that, yeah. that is unacceptable that's to most Americans.
Not my America, man.
That's right. But this guy came out of prison, ran for mayor again in Washington D.C. Guess what happened?
One. What a stud.
Washington D.C. is honked up.
And you know what he said when he found out he had been reelected after jail?
No.
What's up?
God.
File. Yeah. It made sense, and you get that.
That was a force. That was a force file right there. He broke into the filing cabinet to put his own file into the file.
I'm very happy with that.
You're a dick. Eddie Murphy will play Marion Barry. Apparently.
Oh, great choice.
That is a good choice.
Until he drops out.
He's not dropping out. Why do you got to say that?
Quitter.
As if the ladies don't like Ryan Gosling enough, now he's just making them swoon even more. Apparently, Ryan Gosling is quite the dancer.
Oh, great.
He works out, like most guys do, with the weights and stuff like that. But he also is a diehard ballet dancer.
What?
He takes private lessons from a prima ballerina named Jacqueline Betham. And she says that he is excellent and is a great jumper. Which, if you're a ballerino, you know, you want to be a good jumper. But, yeah, very graceful. She says he's quite the remarkable ballet dancer.
I'm so mad all I can do is dance.
Yoo-hoo! Ladies love that. Ladies love a man who can dance.
But not that kind of dancing, do they?
Yeah.
Well,
really?
You see those guys? They are, their bodies are amazing. That,
they're wearing dance belts, Lisa. Don't get excited.
Not
it's not
that.
What their packages
their
are really like. Yeah, you're
staling
at their packages going, oh, look at that guy on the stage. Look at the Nutcracker. She's not even watching Nutcracker Sweet when she says that. She's just saying, look at the Nutcracker. Hold on a second. Here.
Gotta have laughter right there. Timing.
I borrowed that from the Whitney Show. Lent me their soundtrack. Before I get to Hollywood birthdays, I do want to give away some more passes to this K-Rock advanced screening we're having of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Looks so good.
It was a smash hit trilogy of books, and now the movie franchise has begun. They did a version in the native Swedish that the book was written in, but now this is the American film version, starring Daniel Craig and Mara Rooney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Sony is where it's happening. You get to go on the lot Monday, December the 19th. It's in theaters everywhere on Wednesday the 21st, but you will see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, you will get to go see The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You know, she's Mara Rooney is the scion of the two families that own the Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's football royalty.
Huh.
Go figure. Huh. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Barker, 88 years old today. Dionne Warwick is 71 years old. Sheila E., singer and percussionist, was a longtime protege of Prince, 54 years old. He had a bunch of those girls back in the day that he sort of tootled.
Yep, and they were all hot. Apollonia was one.
Yeah,
Vanity.
Sheila E., Vanity. Carmen Electra.
Sheena Easton.
Yeah.
All of them, yeah. Maite, the one he married.
That's right.
Yeah, every one of them. He produced their records, wrote songs for them. He loved doing that.
Think he did them?
Yes.
Every one of them,
yeah.
In every possible way.
He did. Jennifer Connelly's 41 years old today. Mayim Bialik celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the Maxim Editor-in-Chief, Dan Bova, on the program. We have the guy that won Last Comic Standing, Felipe Esparza.
Oh, got some fans here. Wow.
We're laughing already.
I believe we have comedian Jeff Ross. Keep him going. Keep it going. And we're doing some more top 10 lists, and tomorrow's top 10 is the Internet Roundup.
Okay.
Our favorite 10 from the year, and we've got Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
How about that?
Why? How come that one?
Flea just had breakfast.
Yeah, that tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin.